Hey guys,
Blog
we're back.
Talk Radio.
Doing the show once again from the West Coast. It's 9 p.m. here. They almost caught me off guard. So, like I've said for many weeks, I've announced the date. It's still the 18th of September, 2012, here in Los Angeles. Of course, where Chris is, who will be joining us shortly, tomorrow. So I hope everybody had a good week. It's been another crazy time. What's new? Mitt Romney got himself in a bunch of trouble. And I just watched a documentary about Mitt Romney's family down in Mexico, who are Mormons. We all know he's a Mormon, but his family moved down there to practice polygamy not that long ago. And they have a very turbulent history, a very interesting one, including some severe murders that took place in the 1980s. Pretty recent. Mitt Romney's father was born, actually, in Mexico. And it's an interesting story. It's by the guys at Vice, Vice.com, V-I-C-E.com. They put out a lot of really amazing documentaries. We talked about them before. I've probably mentioned this before, but I watched the first. They just put it out. So it's brand new, and you can only watch the first two parts of it of seven-part series. I watched the first two, and it's going to be pretty interesting. What they're going through is they're actually battling the Mexican drug cartels, who are not all too far away from me now that I live out here in the West, which is interesting. Let's see. I'll play some music. Chris is going to join us, but he is in Connecticut still, and I guess battling some bad weather. I've been busy, so I haven't been paying too much attention to the news, period. I've been out here like working, running around, getting my life established on the West. So Chris, I'm sure, will have a whole lot to tell us, but looks like he's about to be with us. So what I'm going to do is play our intro, and we'll be back in 30 seconds. So Chris was on, he was in the studio, and I was about to go to his call, but then his phone dropped off. He said that the weather was really terrible. I guess it's supposed to be terrible, so his cell phone he might have either had to hide because he was calling from the car on the way from work home and didn't want to get in trouble with the police, because I don't think you're allowed to really talk on the cell phone anywhere anymore while driving. So it could have been that, or he could have lost the signal. So one or the other, he's going to join us on the air sometime soon. He's calling from a different area code, so I'll have to keep my eyes peeled for that. I hope the sound's coming through clear. Actually, let me see. Should be, but the FreedomizerRadio.com website seems to be giving me a bit of a problem. I wonder if anybody else out there is seeing the same thing. Now, we have technical difficulties. That's usually our fault. My computer is screwing up, or you know, the phones, or we're stuck in traffic, or a whole myriad list of a bunch of dumb stuff that happens. But this looks like the website's down. And that doesn't mean that we can't do the radio show. The radio show just streams on there, and the chat room is always fun. But you can listen, you know, everybody knows how to listen. And the show is definitely being recorded, definitely going out live. So if Freedomizer Radio is, it might just be on my side of things, but it does look like maybe we got hacked. It happens. Let's see if I see what I can find out about that. Actually, try to report it live in case you guys aren't aware of it. Let's see, Freedomizer Radio. Yeah, it looks like the website screwed up, but the radio show is still good. Somebody must have hacked their thing. That's all I can say about that. I don't know. I'll let you know when I do. Well, all right. Thankfully, the whole internet is still here. Trying to think what to tell you guys about, man. Oh. All right. We're going to come back with Chris in 3 minutes. Here's a song. I'm going to fix the website.
Here we come. March, don't run. Long as we show up, we've already won.
All right, in my big dead dreams. For all my street peoples who got an ear for quality. From the city to the town. Newsflash. We got a new chapter from the T-Rex. And I do mean the T-Rex. You know, that real life bunch from the Bay. Suit up, soldiers. This is a call to arms.
Give me your pissed off, let down, disgruntled masses. Only nine, baby, we about to turn y'all to champ. Bring your disenfranchised, underrepresented, still alive, dying just to vocalize what's transpired. You got an axe to grind, you got a chip on your shoulder, you got a bone to pick, you wanna slap a motherfucker? We feel you, we got you, we hear you, we want you, we are here for you, we ain't got no other option.
What do we want?
Everybody, anybody, everything.
What do we want?
Right the fuck down.
What do we want?
Everybody, anybody, anything.
What do we want?
This is a call to arms.
Trying to mute you, silence your right to be useful. We want all the tools, yes, facts, words, fuel. We provide the vehicle for you to challenge all the rules. What they bury deep inside, raise it up, let it fly.
All that anxiety, that anger inside me, that fiery ferocity, that conflict, that rivalry, that unpopular philosophy you've been hiding.
Bring that, we need that.
That unbridled animosity.
What do we want?
Everybody, anybody, everything.
What do we want?
Right the fuck now. Everybody, anybody, anything.
What do we want?
This is a call to arms.
White hair, color, doesn't matter. What's important is your attitude. All of my brothers and sisters is madder than mad at the fact.
Time to rally round together like we army gang.
The cops and the criminals, the black and the professionals. The people on both sides of the mesh and the confessional.
The Senate and Congressional House.
Better listen to the voice of the majority. In the streets roaring.
Men and women of all ages. From rich to minimum wage. From pimps to billionaires.
It's a vision we all share.
From the malnourished, disorderly.
The valedictorian.
Hey, yo, count me in, homie.
We shall be victorious.
America's most unwanted,
unparalleled,
undaunted,
the hunted,
the haunted,
we coming,
we marching,
from prime queen,
the drama queen,
the unsung,
the unseen,
the unstable,
the obscene,
the upset,
the unclean,
we all ride,
all grind,
like-minded,
in alignment,
all behind the cause with the common vision in our sight,
honest and uncompromised,
strongest when we all combine,
confident,
winning time, all eyes on the finish line.
Back live. Like I said, it's another Tuesday night, and it's getting to the end of September. So, I'd like to hear you guys call in. The number is 324-374-3704. Something about that sounds wrong. I think I've said it so many times, it's starting to sound silly to me. Yeah, 347-324-3704. And Chris should be joining us shortly. I hope this sounds good. Unfortunately, it does look like the website is screwed up for the evening, so I don't know. I'll have to talk to Proof about that, but we still have the show, so that's good. I just won't be able to read your chat room for a little bit. Which kind of sucks. Anyway, so this is a news story that I'm just reading right now, and I have to do more research on, but it says the White House says it's unconstitutional to strike down the NDAA. I'm reading this from businessinsider.com, and the author of the article is Abby Rogers. It's published on September 17th, 2012, early in the morning. Oh, I hear noises like the website's working. I think it is. All right. Good, good, good. All right. So here we go. Now I just turned down the annoying pop noise, the little thing. Lets me know you guys are writing. So what's up, Sam? What's up, Mars, Modu? So there's some doom and gloom type talk happening in here. I don't know what it is, but I'm always interested. Okay, the article, again, like I said, author Abby Rogers, headline, White House is unconstitutional to strike down the NDAA. People unfamiliar with that, just a bit of background. I know most of our listeners are, but the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012 was unique in that it provided the legal indefinite detention of American citizens, United States citizens, by the, you know, the decree of the president or the White House in general, and without any legal recourse, without any legal representation, like exactly what it says, indefinite detention with no legal recourse, so you're just sitting there, potentially in a hole, potentially being tortured or just disappearing forever. Anything could happen. It was very scary. And then with the introduction of the Enemy Expatriation Act, where if you were deemed to be un-American, very loose kind of thing, a potential terrorist or even a terrorist sympathizer, you could be stripped of your citizenship and an alien, a legal alien in the land of your birth. Scary stuff. So the news coming out here is that the Obama administration had some harsh words Friday after a federal judge appointed by Obama said the government doesn't have a right even remotely associated with terrorist groups. Judge Catherine B. Forrest permanently blocked the government from enforcing the National Defense Authorization Act, claiming it was too vague and would have a chilling effect on free speech. And now the Department of Justice is calling Forrest's ruling unprecedented, arguing that the government has long had the authority to detain anyone it deems a threat to the county, the Wall Street Journal's Law Blog reported Friday. The word is county. They may have meant to write country, as you see these, or they could be county, you know, because it's the DOJ arguing that the government has long had the authority to detain anyone it deems a threat to the county, the Wall Street Journal's Law Blog reported Friday. So I guess if the sheriff of the county wants to detain you. Anyway, and on Monday, the Justice Department asked the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals to put the ruling on hold, according to Law Blog. Forrest ruling oversteps the court's authority and infringes on Obama's power to act as commander-in-chief, according to the government's court filings. The Justice Department requested a stay of the ruling pending appeal, which Forrest denied Friday. Carl Mayer, an attorney for the plaintiffs in the case, has hailed the decision as a huge and historic victory for democracy, saying he believes any challenges from the Obama administration will be shot down, RT reported over the weekend. So that's really good. We have one good federal judge who has stood up for the clear violation of our constitutional God-given rights that the NDAA represent. So hopefully, yeah, we'll see where this goes. It's pretty crazy, but who knows what the White House will pull next and what kind of... And I haven't really even researched this ruling, so I'm sure the White House already has a way around it. They usually do. We definitely don't have a representative government anymore in almost any branch, but this sounds like a good one. Sounds like one good story for the week. So we'll see. That happened Friday. The article I just read you was written yesterday. So you can get that link. I'll put it in the chat. But anybody, all you have to do, I'm sure it's everywhere, and most of our listeners have heard of it already, that happened, because we are all closely monitoring, like I said, violations of civil liberties. So, let's see, what is next? Let's all go back to the chat room, see if Chris is up there. No, he's not yet. I just hope everybody can hear me. Somebody in the chat room, write one if the sound is good, and two if the sound is terrible. Because I'm using a different kind of mic right now. All right. All right, cool. Let's see what I can do here. Got a theory. Got a theory on Wiccan. So, yeah, that's right. Somebody wrote Happy New Year, and it is for people of the Jewish faith. Passover has begun, the New Year, and it ends on Yom Kippur. And so I can't think of the proper Hebrew, but Happy New Year. That works. The year, I think, is... let me find out what the year is. Is it 5,721 or something like that? Let's find out for all our Jewish friends out there. Jewish New Year. High holidays. Rosh Hashanah. Is that what I... Did I say Passover? La 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 la. Anyway. Oh, I don't know. I'm bad at dates. Just looking for the year. Sorry, boring radio, my bad. Not used to going on at 9 o'clock. Usually exhausted by the time we hit the air. It's midnight and I'm on till 4 in the morning. Different kind of feeling out here. Sitting at a, not in my usual office either. Kind of funny. Is this Friday night? That's in the chat room. Well, enough of that. I'm sure somebody will know. We have a few people that I'm sure are celebrating right now that listen. So if one of them wants to call in and talk about that, what the holiday season is for your fans, just certainly more than welcome, because we'd like to keep it open on all topics. And a lot of people are kind of, as much as we all hang out with each other, you don't really get to experience like the small things with your neighbor, cultural differences, specifically religious, because it's such a private type of thing for most people. You know, you don't try to show your religion on anyone else's throat, at least reasonable people do. So, kind of as a consequence, I don't really know what it's like to be in a Jewish household during this time of year. Let's see what we have. Okay. Let's see if I can get this. All right, guys. Whatever. We're still here. My phone is going crazy. I apologize for that. Yeah, we're here. All right. Oh, this sucks. Hang on, Colin.
I must drag my body through the mucking mire, gathering branches through the steaming fire. Twigs I would rather just in the net, or with a wooden wing than fly. They said, hey, 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 call on my Lord, but it can't help me now. I'd fall on my sword if I only knew how to believe. There's nothing above, only absence of breath, of hatred and love, but it was born into me. If I can't burn it out, I'll forge all my swords in the blaze of the fire and toil all my days in those fields of fire. And I will welcome those flames in a funeral pyre.
Okay, here we go. Hearing crazy noises from the thing, but I just don't care anymore. Sorry for a clunky first 20 minutes. It happened. But the story, I can tell you about Rosh Hashanah, because a lot of people don't know. I did see Colbert. I didn't actually really get to watch the whole bit, but he blew the ram's horn, which symbolizes, well, the festival of Rosh Hashanah. The name means head of the year, and it's observed for 2 days beginning on one Tishrei, the first day of the Jewish year. That's the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman in their first actions toward the realization of mankind's role in God's world. Of course, in Hebrew, they don't even say God, I don't think, or Yahweh, but they leave out the, you know, when you see it written, it's just G, like, slash D, or type. So, Rosh Hashanah thus emphasizes the special relationship between God and humanity, our dependence upon God as our creator and sustainer, and God's dependence upon us as the ones who make his presence known and felt in his world. Each year on Rosh Hashanah, which this year is the 16th to the 18th this month, so that celebration is ongoing. Each year on Rosh Hashanah, all inhabitants of the world pass before God like a flock of sheep. And it is decreed in the heavenly court who shall live and who shall die, who shall be impoverished and who shall be enriched, who shall fall and who shall rise. But this is also the day we proclaim God King of the universe. The Kabbalists teach that the continued existence of the universe is dependent upon the renewal of the divine desire for a world when we accept God's kingship each year on Rosh Hashanah. The central observance of Rosh Hashanah is the sounding of the shofar, the ram's horn, which also represents the trumpet blast of a people's coronation of their king. The cry of the shofar is also a call to repentance. The Rosh Hashanah is also the anniversary of man's first sin and his repentance thereof, and serves as the first day of the 10 days of repentance, which culminate in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Another significance of the shofar is to recall the binding of Isaac, which also occurred on Rosh Hashanah, in which a ram took Isaac's place as an offering to God. We evoke Abraham's readiness to sacrifice his son and plead that the merit of his deed should stand by as we pray for a year of life, health, and prosperity. Altogether, we listen to 100 shofar blasts over the course of the Rosh Hashanah services. Additional Rosh Hashanah observances include eating a piece of apple dipped in honey, symbolize our desire for a sweet year, and other special foods symbolic of the New Year's blessings. Blessing one another with the words, Leshana Tovav Tikatev Vetakai Tim. Sorry about my, I don't speak the language. I have studied Kabbalah and I know some phrases, but yeah, not that fluent, clearly. May you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. Tashlik, a special prayer, send near a body of water, an ocean, river, pond, etc., obviously, in evocation of the verse, and you shall cast their sins into the depths of the sea. And as with every major Jewish holiday, after candle lighting and prayers, we recite Kiddush, and make a blessing on the challah. So, that is from Shabbat.org, and, I'm sure that was just the first simple explanation I could find it. So, just to tell you a little bit about what they're celebrating. And I myself am not of that faith, obviously, or I would be pretty poor practicing member of it based on my very ignorance of one of the highest holidays. I have known that before, but, like I said, I've been more focused on trying to work, trying to live in L.A., if any city can distract you from spirituality, it could be right here. As good as any. Well, let's see. Chris, I don't know, man. I hope he's still... He should be joining us any moment. But, hope he didn't, like I said, get pulled over for talking on the phone, trying to be a good radio host. So, Jesse Ventura. If anybody heard this, I didn't, but I did read the transcript. He got to say some things on Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is the guy that came and replaced Larry King on CNN, like during that primetime slot. So there's a copy of the transcript I can read from, that's on a website, who cares. Piers Morgan. What would you have done on September the 12th, 2001? What would you have done if you have been president? Ventura said, I would have done a legitimate investigation to find out what exactly happened on 9/11. How did they know who did this so quickly, like they did Lee Harvey Oswald? How quick they know Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy? Morgan. We knew who did it because the people who did it were identified and we knew who they were. Ventura. Well, then why couldn't we have stopped them beforehand if they were identified and we knew who they were? It was a failure of intelligence, says Morgan. Everyone's accepted that. Ventura. No, it wasn't. We knew before with Condoleezza Rice's memo on August 6th when it stated right in the memo, Bin Laden to steal planes and run them into buildings. And more stuff is coming out now also, how much the Bush administration ignored the intelligence. It was almost like they ignored it because they wanted it to happen. Oh, come off it, Jesse, Morgan stammered as the audience began applauding. Every war fought starts with a false flag operation, Ventura finished up, scattered applause. This is, you guys can read the rest of it. Like I said, it's got to be pretty interesting to watch, and this is on InfoWars. That's their version of it, so I can play you the audio later. Maybe Chris will. It's pretty powerful. It's not like it's new. Many celebrities, many government officials, prime ministers of foreign nations, scientists, architects, engineers, we've talked about this ad nauseum, have come out at least legitimizing the questions, at least so supporting the family members and their call for a proper investigation into the murder of their loved ones. And the rest of the country and the rest of the world, simply because it's so clear that we've been lied to and there was a criminal cover-up at the highest levels regarding the truth around 9/11. And the people deserve to know the truth, no matter how ugly it might be, and how much of a threat it truly is to what people could deem national security if we were to find out that at the highest levels our government criminals had infiltrated and actually helped orchestrate an attack on American citizens to start wars all over the world where they have started them, and the loss of so many American soldiers and possibly, you know, a million innocents. That continues today under a new president who promised hope and change. Hasn't changed. And hope is, well, it's with us. Pretty much the only hope. I don't mean us on this radio show, but I mean, you know, the people. And Ventura is one of those guys that's not afraid, even when he sounds bumbling and goofy and like the wrestler that he was at one time. He's never been afraid to speak his mind. And that's good enough all the time. So, that video is out there. You can see it on any website now. That transcript was from Infowars.com. You know, Alex Jones' show. But it's on every website, so support your smaller radio host, too. You know, Alex isn't the only guy to go to, and he's not always the best source for information, because he is fallible, and he definitely has his strong opinions, and he's definitely not always the best interviewer, and can kind of just based on his success, I think sometimes run off at the mouth without necessarily doing the best job, but whatever, that's his character, and that's how he's so famous and how so many people have come to learn about these things, and then it's just our job to take that information and check it out, make sure it's all correct, and find your own way to help open up minds around the world with it, rather than just copying what Alex does. We need a variety of different kinds of voices, a variety of different approaches, some humorous, even though it's dealing with a dark subject like that. That's, all the subjects aren't dark, though, in the Liberty Movement. And a lot of them are really fun. You know, for one, we talk about on here a lot, all the success and the laughter that can be had with a real legitimate cannabis rights movement, which is a huge part of it. The fact that it could help rebuild American industry, put many people to work, growing cannabis, and the fact that everybody enjoys it, and it helps you see through the lies and manipulation, sometimes to a disturbing level, which might be why so many people have panic attacks, because we're being lied to on every level, and when you confront that even for a moment, it can throw you into a severe state of anxiety. But it's not an unhealthy thing, and you don't have to dope yourself up. I know that sounds ironic, since I'm saying that weed is the thing. But a lot of people run to, you know, antidepressants, Xanax, and the rest, and it's not necessarily the case. You don't necessarily need to not think about these things. But you shouldn't obsess on them too much, or you'll be crazy and become ineffective, too. We all know that. Hey, it looks like we have a caller. Let me see. 646 area code. Hopefully I can hear you when I take the call in about 2 seconds. Like I said, things are a little bit wacky as far as the way I'm doing the show nowadays. But that, it'll all get fixed really soon. But, all right, well, 646, you should be live right now. You guys are listening to Freedom of Information Radio. I'm your host, Nate. Chris is the other co-host who should be calling any second and joining us. And it's the live September 18th. Edition. We do it every Tuesday from midnight to 3 on the East Coast. 9 to midnight now, I'm getting used to, here on the West Coast. So, how's it going, man? Can you hear me clear? And what's happening?
Whoa, dude. Whoa. I can't do it, but you know, I was going to go, woo-hoo. But then you just
is that an Alex Jones? Were you going to call in with an Alex Jones impersonation?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, see, I just realized, as I said it, that you asked me if I could hear you clearly, but yeah, that was the one question. God, I must be fucking brilliant or something. Oh, can I say that word or not?
You know that. God, I wish we could say that again. I really do. God. We could say whatever. Yeah, that's one of the fun things about this show. We started.
I'm already cafarding all over you. Okay, here's something. Okay, so so my name is Regular Girl, and I was hoping that it would be the Freedom of Information. So I wasn't sure because anyway. That's the whole, that's the fun part of Freedom of Information, isn't it? It is, actually.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want. Yeah, when Chris and I first started this, we were a lot more careful, and then it just gradually became where I tried to talk, I not pepper the language too much to make it, like, shocking or anything, but just so people get to know, how I actually think, how I actually talk, and it's more conversational rather than being too, politically correct or anything. We're on at nighttime, and we're on the internet, and I don't think swear words, as they're called, are really offensive whatsoever. They're not offensive at all in the way that people, the way people usually use them.
No, really. You took it to help because you actually did something while we witnessed it. Not that you're the only and the first one, but I'm just saying, but I want to, take you to, a try to anyway take it to a different place. I was going to talk about something different, which was more serious.
Yeah.
And because I'm laughing here, by myself anyway, and I'm not sure everyone would get the jokes, but I'm going to ask you this because it's Freedom of Information, and actually.
Mm-hmm.
I could get into articulating why, in terms of government and politics, the same that I'm going to say this way is. So that's all I'm going to say. But here's the next question. There's a reason why we must allow ourselves to talk and express ourselves in ways that are not normal, okay? My name is Regular Girl. Okay, so Larry's going to call in, right? Have you not anticipated this? And you've been talking about a couple of things. I'm really asking you this sincerely. I'm laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I
didn't realize that I was going to talk about something more serious, and I went, wait a minute. This is really interesting. If this is Freedom of Information, because your voice sounds so different, your voice, sounds so different.
Oh, really? It's not the same line that I was using back home. It's working out the kinks, but right now it's kind of crazy. I'm going to try to switch. Actually, I think I can really improve it next time I take a short break.
It's not as bad. No, it's not as bad. It's not bad. I didn't say bad. There should be change. In fact, what I'm trying to say, thank God you have 3 hours, but I'm going to shut up. Not that I need to talk with words. Nor do we have it. It's like we can see, not that it's bad or different, or it's just that it's different. We can do that. See, we can. And that's the whole part of it. So we can change our name. Of course we can. They change the stock market like every fucking who's going to determine what time is? GTFO. Please, Mr. Coleman, can I say the F word? Can I marry who I love, Mr. Government? Please, Mr. Government. But I didn't want to go there. But remember, not talking with words, not just words. Because this. And, sorry, if you don't get this, it's like, maybe there are different levels. Okay, so this is just the level that it is. And so if they or someone can create some sort of chemistry,
mm-hmm.
something that can be put inside of us that we don't even know that we're taking, and then we can be manipulated with our thoughts, then here's what I say, and I'm saying this is a different level maybe of a place to communicate, because if you don't get that and you think it's crazy, okay, great, that's okay, I don't care. But anyway, everybody else who's already on the bus, we don't need to explain it anymore, So I'm saying this. If that's true, that means that we can, I'm saying it this way. We can, we can communicate with each other. If dogs know the truth, and I used to say this long before I knew Larry, I used to say, I used to use this as an example all the time. We all know, hey man, if you've got a dog that loves you, a dog can tell. So if dogs can tell, so can't we? Never mind the names psychic and all that stuff.
Okay.
So right, we can communicate, you know, with outwards.
Of course.
So I'm saying, you know, that's our forte. The fact that your voice sounds different.
Oh yeah.
That's our strong suit. You know, I'm just throwing out these little pop, you know, phrases. See, it's almost like the less we say, the better we can. It's very Taoist. You know, you dig the Tao thing, so I know you know that. But you know, I love the voice, and you know, I have the tech and mic issues too. So was it that you did you have a what was the different setup? Was it a different? Did you have a mic? You don't have a mic now. Did you have a mic in the place before?
Well, I would use a landline, then I started using this other really nice, like, studio mic. You know, it's not, like, the best one out there, but it's a really good one. I liked it. And then I'm going to be using that again. And then I have, like, another just regular, like, a Logitech one that most people kind of probably have sitting around if you had to get an external mic to use, like, for Skype. But here, or if you, I have used Skype before, and I've used the mic on the camera, and just, you know, we could have had a video, but we haven't done that yet. Sooner or later,
okay,
it'd be fun to have
okay, Nate, listen to this. You're going to love this. Yeah. And by the way, if you know, who's ever listening, like, Nate and I have talked to each other before, okay? So it's like,
you may think
this is like, you know, too, like, but it's not. Okay, so, like, how do you feel about, like, how do you feel about secret recipes? Like, you know how there are some people who, there are some people who are fabulous cooks. Like, there are. I love to cook. This is why I use this reference. But, you know, so it's like, now some people, they're like, yeah, you know, like, you love baking. You love, it's not just food, but it's that thing about really great food, the senses, right? You really, so it's like, and you go, my God, you're right there with the person who cooked it, right? Maybe there's people around. And some people, some chefs, or I don't know what you would call them, because it's like art. It's very, really interesting. So it's like they go, they love to tell it. They love to tell it. And then some don't. And I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. The other place that seems to be true is in jazz music. In jazz music, and I really mean jazz specifically, there's because in the others it's too covered up. It's too, like, keep the drama, like, overtakes it. But it's good, I discovered at one point. It's the same like in cooking. And actually, a lot of jazz musicians are really great cooks. But anyway, it's like, and singers. So guys out there, the singers, good cooks. Or gay men, I don't know, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to know about it. You know, I don't need to. Unless I'm going to write a book about it or something. But anyway, it's like, so it's like some people tell it and it's great and some people don't. What do you think about that? What do you think about, you know, saying, you know, this, no, you know, I don't want to do it. But listen to this. In terms of, because I know you know this, every thought, every action has a reaction. Okay, so let's just not even go there and argue that. They can go to the other classes. You and I both agree on that. Go to the archives, right? So every action has a reaction. So what do you think about this? Which is it better? Do you think it's better? And I've lied. I do have an opinion about it. But I'm trying to present it in a way that makes it a question. Have you decided yet? Have you decided? And I say this is just as important as talking about who we want to vote for. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But anyway, can you answer the question? Or what's your reaction to this? 'Cause I, you know.
I hold on.
I know you really are lucky being out there, so in a place you don't have to feel like a criminal. You know, of course, you're trying to be healthy. Thank you.
So,
I'm not. I'm in a place where I still make it feel like I'm a criminal. Same way I was when I was like 12 or 14 when I first smoked marijuana. I'm 50 years old. I'm 55 years old. Seriously. It's like it's gone too much. I'm not a criminal. I'm not like some bad teenager.
No.
Gee, get the fuck out of here. Really.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing you twice over every time for everything you're saying, and that's got to be a problem on my end. I'm sure everyone else can hear you fine, but something's Nate. Mike got stuck in the garbage disposal. Somebody wrote in the chat room where he flushed it. Yeah, that could all be true. That was fun.
Oh,
I shouldn't be, but let's see what's going on. how silly, man. It's just, hold on. Okay. One second, guys. Hello. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna try. Okay. Let's see. Well, yeah, it did sound like my mic went to hell, and I don't know what happened, but it should be working better again now because I'm using just my cell phone. So, hey, everybody, can you hear me? Sorry, Sarah, you're on again.
Okay, hi.
I don't know what happened. You were going, and then I started hearing echoes on my end, so I tried to adjust something, and it went crazy. I don't really know why, but now you guys have me on just my cell phone, so. For the rest of the show, it should sound like this because I'm kind of tired of whatever's going squirrely with the all the other things.
And I know because I have a show on Blog Talk, and so I listen. That's the only one that I listen to. I can't stand to listen to myself otherwise because so I have to. I just feel the responsibility the one there. I think, but otherwise, you know, I just can't stand it. And I know, and I also know because. Because I'm a singer, I'm a professional. I just know it's the microphones. I just got this cell phone, and I can hear the boom. You know, it hits the highs and slams the
dance.
Right? It's horrible. And
totally. it's really obnoxious.
I want a microphone so badly. Like I realize
you can get some good ones. There's some really nice mics out there for $100 to $200. You know. That's not saying
that. I think that's in the studio. I think that's like my. I think it's like that would be like actually. I don't know that anybody else would understand this except somebody who would think that this is like the pure dream come true. But I'm telling you, like, I would love to live like just in a studio. And then when it's time to come out and get the sun, get something to eat and shower and go to the bathroom. Okay, but. I don't care about time, morning, day, night, but I just, there's so much. And I know that for the people like me, I love that. I love a great microphone, easy to record, right? Wouldn't that be fabulous? Just, right?
Well, I've had a good setup before. It's just about getting, I'm kind of sitting in a hollow room right now, and I'm trying different, sound setups. By hollow room, I just mean, it's all wood, and there's not a lot to absorb any of the echo of just ambient noise that's, the fan going above me. which I have, it's hot, you know, I got to have a fan on, but if the TV's on in the background, or even my voice, like, going off the walls, and it just is what it is until I get it all figured out, where the, you kind of want, I don't know, that's why you see people on documentaries singing in the bathroom of a house that they rent to record an album, or, you know, in the shower stall, whatever it is, sounds an interesting thing. I like the realness of it, like that you can hear me switching and certain mics screwing up and the fact that it's live, and I like how, you know, genuine it all is, but it's also a pain in the fucking balls. You know, when you want to do a good quality show, it's frustrating when things get in the way.
You know what else is different, though? The rate of your speech. Like, the rate of your speech is, like, I would say, like, more than twice. I'm not good enough at math. I mean, well, it'd be better, like, if, I think more in intervals, like, sort of musical intervals, because, but anyway, but the rate.
Well, it does sound, of my speech in particular?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's earlier out here, and when the sound sounds different, it is kind of strange listening to, like, just listening to the callers and listening. It does affect how you talk. It's straight. Yeah, it's a different, it's almost like I'm talking to a different crowd than the people I'm so used to. Yeah, it does.
It's like environment. No, you'll dig this, because you're really brilliant. It's like, and so is anybody. Where's Chris? But anyway, it's like this. Maria Montessori. Everybody knows Montessori schools. You see those little signs. You do in Westchester, anyway. You know, Montessori method. Montessori method basically is, she says, environment is affects learning. And I'm presupposing, but it's philosophically classical philosophy argument that holds weight. It's like this whole. Environment affects learning. Life is learning. Life is learning because we are made of senses, sensory processing into our brain. We don't need to call it psychic or any of that stuff, but we don't need to call it scientific either, because it isn't either. It isn't anything. It is not religion. It is not anything. But the one thing that it does have in common with the things that religion are based on is mysticism, meaning it's not we don't know, because that's agnosticism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I know, but I can't explain it. And I'm not forcing you to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that whenever I have had a conversation with people, with another person,
mm-hmm.
whether real or imagined, and everything is just fine. I don't need anybody to tell us which way the conversation should go.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
and that's all we're doing, is we're having a conversation. Really, right?
Yeah. Yes, the show's all about. It is kind of funny talking about the effect of environment, though. I am thrown out of my usual rhythm, and 701, I do see you, and you've been holding for quite a while, so I'll get right to that call. I'm sure I have some ideas about what we'll wind up discussing. But it definitely has an effect. Usually I've come from about a 12-hour, like, hard work day, and then jump in the shower 5 minutes before, barely managed to throw on, like, some shorts, and then jump on the air in my little comfortable area that I was used to doing the show in. Environment does dictate a whole lot, and I am in a new environment, so it's funny that I have a different microphone, so there's an actual different pitch to my voice, like the highs are too high, and that kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, it definitely does. That's the importance of, like, sacred spaces. So people go on retreats and they sit in sacred groves, or they have a particular ritual for a time of year or for a gathering that's to create an environment that's, like, conducive to the desired effect. So
there are a lot of jobs in that area. there are jobs in that area. You know how they were talking on the internet?
Oh, my God.
Radio,
right? Yeah, there's a lot.
There's jobs in areas that maybe we're not talking about, right? You know, they're presupposing that if one does that, they're presupposing that those who go there are so stupid that, of course they're going to be swayed by it. Eliminating what they're also saying, not that I don't do this too. We don't hold two ideas at the same time, cognitive dissonance. We can hold seven or eight. You can't count it. But anyway, at the same time, they're saying, so I can't hold seven. Okay. bigger thought form. Okay. Yeah, like, so what? So you don't want to learn more? You see what I'm saying? The oppressor, which is always the part of us that, because there's that microcosm, macrocosm thing. Once again, a reminder, if you don't understand this, it's like, great, that's okay. Nobody's forcing me to be here. I'm not talking to you, Nate or Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm aware that I'm on the radio, all right? You know, it's a conversation, but I'm aware of it. A big surprise. The only reason I have to even take the time to take this, I'm getting more pissed off, and there's fewer places where I can even say this. Because if people are actually listening at my fucking wall, I read 1984, and I was a fucking, not even a fucking teenager yet. I'd like to read, you fucking assholes, and I'm not talking to Nate. I'm aware once again. I am intelligent, and I'm telling you, you are fucking history. You're a fucking history. You're a fucking story. That's all you are, because you're not being fucking real. And I know that you know that I know who you fucking are. Sit down and shut the fuck up.
There. Regular girl. A little bit of a message for the folks. Hey, I think we have Chris. And I appreciate the passion there. And you're always welcome to share that on our show. That's one thing we've never done, is tell people what to think or how to express themselves, you know, unless you start fucking with us, and then Chris and I, you know, we'll fight back. So I think we have Chris now calling from his house home, so let's bring him on. 701, as soon as I introduce Chris, we'll go to you, and then Sarah, we'll let another caller talk, and whatever, you know how we do. Chris, let's see if, are you there, man? Can you hear me?
What's up, sir?
Oh, doing all right. We had a little bit of wacky time with the microphones again, some echoing and I tried just about every method at the beginning of the show and wound up just on my cell phone now. It's kind of how I... Yeah, all right. Well, welcome to the show. Decided to try to... Sarah, I'm going to mute Sarah for a minute and just so we can get everything straight, and then we'll bring everybody back on. So what's up, man? You got home... that's good. What's the weather like out there?
Oh, it's nasty.
It
other
is.
Than the temperature's nice, but I got to one point where I had to stop in the middle of the road because I couldn't see anything in front of me at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
and it, that bad of torrential rainfall, and it was going like across the road, so I hydroplaned about five times on the way home. And when the water was going across the road, it looked like a river going across the road because of how bad the wind was blowing. But there was like 2 inches of like fresh water on the road in most places.
Jesus
Christ,
man.
But it was not a fun drive home. There was a downed tree like across the road, and you know the cops had the road blocked off, and one of the worker trucks. So I got stuck behind that truck for like 15 minutes waiting for it to move.
Jeez. Well, heads up then for other people listening that might be thinking about going out driving somewhere around Connecticut, wherever. You know, Chris, I don't know how vast, I don't know anything about the weather back east right now, except for what you're telling me. I haven't paid any attention. I've been, it's been perfect here every day, except a little too hot. And a little too hot during the daytime and just, you know, perfect at night. But so if you're listening, don't go out driving. Be careful. I guess
the
road gets stuck.
We were in the low 40s last night.
Yeah, I've heard that, actually. I mean, I guess I do know a little bit. I was talking to my brother, and he was saying it was like 40 degrees, so, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I would take 40 for a day just because it's, I like that time of year. I love this time of year back at home. It's like the best. Beginning of fall.
You love 40s from when you were like a teenager.
Yeah, but I mean, it's cool at first. Like, some of those nice cold nights for sleeping, dude, being able to, like, put on heavy blankets and, you know, actually, that's a cool thing in the beginning. It turns to shit pretty quickly. Like, hydroplaning across the roads and being cold and paying for your heat, all that sucks. all I have to do is pay for a fan to be running right now in LA Street, and it's fine.
Oh, man, my house is terrible for heat. My house is 110 years old. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, even trying to, like, seal it up so it works good. When it gets real cold, like it did, like, 2 years ago, where we had, like, real-time temperatures of, like, negative 12, one show was at, like, negative 28, 100 gallons of oil, 8-9 days.
Mm-hmm.
So 435, 450 for 8-9 days worth of heat where I'm heating it up, and I'm actually still sitting with, like, a sweatshirt, a winter hat, and even on a couple occasions wearing gloves, like, sitting in my living room. As I'm paying $450, you know, to heat my house, which, what does that break down to?
Don't think about it.
$55 a day.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah. No, I mean, medium temperatures. If we get down, like, you know, in the teens, then it's about, we'll go through about 10 gallons a day, which is, like, you know, 40 and change.
So have you seen anything in the news? What's going on that we should be talking about?
I was going to go peek at the news sites in a couple of minutes because I'm still wearing my work shoes. I haven't even, you know, gotten
right
settled in. But I'll tell you that I saw one really, really frightening, mortifying news report this week, and I'm sure it's been talked about a lot on this network, but after the ambassador was killed in Libya, then 2 days after that, got CNN on at work, and I'm looking, and it says anti-American protests have spread to 21 different countries.
Yeah. That's,
you know, and no, I mean, that's not a good thing at all. I mean, most of the time, like, you know, people would take out a president or a prime minister before they would touch an ambassador. You know, it's always been like, you know, diplomats are just, they're off limit. And
Yeah,
and now it's the opposite case. And it happened to be every country that Wesley Clark named as the regimes that were going to get toppled after Iraq, that we've talked about plenty of times here, they were all on the map of the protests: the Sudan, Somalia, Libya, Egypt, Yemen, Syria, Iran, all on there. And they were even having anti-American protests in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... I can see it the reverse way, too, because I don't like the fact that British politics weighs so heavily into decision-making here, you know? But in 1 week, all of a sudden, 21 countries are having anti-American protests. And, as we talked about last week, Obama, he snubs Netanyahu and says, I have too busy of a schedule. I can't meet with you.
Yeah.
Netanyahu wants to talk to him about attacking Iran. And, oh, sorry, I don't have time for that. I'm on the campaign trail right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I fear that it's gearing up towards, like, the real 2012 scenario.
Well, there are many, but, yeah, I know what you're saying, man. There's a lot of anti-American sentiment everywhere,
and they are
fostering the conditions necessary for a global war. then that's terrifying. You know, everybody talking shit about everything.
I mean, I called this 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Okay.
I said if they think that something's going down on 2012, they're going to need to hide all the important people. You know, scientists, doctors, you know, people with skills for post-apocalyptic times. And I mean, I've been saying it for 3 years. I'm like, the only way that you can make all those people disappear with no one noticing is with a gigantic world war. And then, you know, you drop an EMP over the U.S. Okay, we can't communicate. Now they can take all the scientists and doctors and all the people that have important skills, and they can bring them into the at least 140 underground bunkers that were reported by Phil Schneider back in 26 before he was assassinated. You know, so, I mean, that's the only way that this scenario works. You cannot go hide 2 million people that have skills without cutting off all communication, without, you know, having a massive catastrophe. And if they think that 2012 is real and that, you know, we're going to have some sort of pole shift, I mean, that would be exactly the game plan that they would play. They start, you know, attacking embassies. We break out into a big war, and all these people go underground after the U.S. gets attacked. And I'll tell you right now, if the U.S. does get attacked, what's going to happen is we're going to enter into a multinational war, probably starting in Iran, Yemen, or Syria, and then Venezuela, China, and Russia are all going to jump into the war. And with the exception of the Russians, it's going to be the alliance of the white people in America, Canada, and Australia that will be fighting the other side. Britain, I'm not sure. But, I mean, when they do this, I'm telling you right now, they're going to draw all of our troops overseas, even though the majority of them are already there. They're going to draw them overseas, and as soon as we get all of our aircraft carriers, our destroyers, all these other vehicles, and get them into position and get into a conflict, then there's no one left here to protect anything. And that's when they're going to attack America. You know, I mean, it's like classic chess. They're going to draw us out and then come in and conquer. And if it does happen, I'm 99% that that's the way that it's going to go down, even though that it's probably prefabricated that all of these countries already, or at least their leadership, knows what's going to happen. You know, I mean, there were reports of us going to war with China in 2008 that haven't come true yet, but, you know, just because the plan's delayed doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I hope not. I can see that. It's certainly a real enough scenario, as frightening as that sounds. I don't know what's going to happen, man. I try to be, you know, as optimistic as possible, but that's how you would do it. We've outlined many things that, we've even mentioned my reluctance. I've mentioned my reluctance at times to even share some frightening visions, because I don't want to put the ideas out into the world. But, man. I mean, when you study this stuff for
what I just outlined is that's not rocket science. I mean, that's
no,
common.
That's what I mean.
If you look at global politics, the way they're going.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing too shocking about what you just said, and that's except for the fact that that's shocking. It's frightening that's so.
It's shocking because it's real.
Yeah.
Can you hear the rain here? I just stepped out for a smoke.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, you can totally hear it. I could step outside and you could hear college kids having fun in the in the gorgeous weather.
Oh, what is it? Are you near like a community college or UCLA or?
UCLA, homie. I live like where all the grad students live, and I guess regular students too. People that aren't living in like dorms or whatever. I live in my building and the neighboring ones. So yeah, I'm pretty much UCLA. It's kind of where
well,
I live.
You know,
right
you're
now.
Lucky to have a baby face, because now you can pop into some frat parties. You know, funnel a couple of beers and pick up some cute women that wouldn't talk to you if it was daytime.
It's kind of funny, man. It's a weird situation, like hanging out downtown at all, or like on the, not downtown LA, but like the where people go out to the bars right around here. Yeah, it is sort of strange. Because I do, I blend right in, you know. But yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I don't know if I told you last week, but I chopped my hair off, and people think I'm like 27 now.
Nice, man. Would you did you sell it?
Well, no, I couldn't because my hair was dreaded. People were like, oh, did you donate your hair? And I'm like, what am I going to donate it to a cancer patient who just got his medical marijuana card? So he can be in Sarasa?
So, dude, Mitt Romney has totally screwed himself pretty royally. Just in the past week, I've heard like four terrible statements he's made that all went public. He had a $50,000 plate dinner, and somebody from the website Mother Jones got in there, and or at least somebody filmed the tape and gave it to them, and they published it.
Oh, yeah, no, and she's hardcore Democrat, so.
Exactly. His statements were just all, and they're going to be used that way, but they are his statements. It's the real tape, you know, and he's bashing Democrats pretty bluntly.
So, are they tossing it again?
Are they doing what?
Are they tossing it?
Tossing it?
Yes. Like they did last election, where John McCain was out of money, was not getting any votes, and then all of a sudden, in 2 weeks, he's the front runner over Huckabee and Romney. So are they tossing it? Is Romney throwing in a white flag, you know, for the 300 club? And, you know, we get four more years of Obama.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I believe that it's chosen, that there's not actually, and there might be, we've talked about this a million times, and who knows? You know, the two presidents might actually want it, but the people behind the scenes that make the calls, yeah, they could choose to do this, or it could be a concerted effort. Yeah, Romney is definitely business enough to, I believe, participate in any kind of game at that level. He likes that. Manipulating people for his own gain, and so if there's enough personal profit to be made as going along with Obama giving it to that camp, I don't know that he would, because he is they do seem very different, but yeah, they could be, the GOP could be, because if they wanted to win, they would probably go with, you know, Ron Paul. We've known that for 10 years, but.
I mean, Ron could win because, I mean, let's face it, Democrat and Republican, they don't matter. The people who choose elections are the independents. Mm-hmm. You know, the 20% of the population is independent. You got like 40 and 40. No one wins without the independent vote because they're not getting a majority. So it's really about winning the independent vote that counts.
Yeah. Well, he came out and said things like on this tape, you know, it's great timing for a website like Mother Jones to have this, because it's like the year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street that just passed. And so these things come out like right at that time. And Occupy Wall Street, although it's actually a diverse group of people from many different like walks of life and ideologies that have been co-opted at certain turns, but essentially it's an organic uprising of people, discontent with the current state of affairs.
So
this comes out right at the perfect time, because they are basically more leftist than anything else, and so it's interesting, man. I don't know.
That broke out right after 9/11. This year on 9/11, we get an ambassador and three Marines killed,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I mean. Unfortunately, those Marines, they're on a suicide mission because the hosting country is supposed to protect the embassy. You know,
right.
So if they've got 30 troops out there and you got guys in the house that are messing with the Marines, I mean, they're all done. They may take out more people than you would expect, but it's still a suicide mission because you got three Marines and they're the last line of defense. I mean, what I don't understand is why we'd build an embassy that doesn't have safety bunker, especially in a volatile country like Libya, you know?
Well, what's the spin on it? Well, I haven't really watched much, dude.
It's not that there's spin on it.
Well,
I mean,
well, not spin, but like, what's your is there more to the story?
Not that I know about, but I mean, I know that we spent $1 billion on the Iraq embassy, but that one's in the quote unquote green zone, so it's surrounded by military camps. No one's getting in there. But if you're going to have from what I've heard, the gentleman ambassador that was assassinated, he was part of the Peace Corps. You know, he was like a hardcore, like, freedom fighting type of guy, and he knew the risks when he went in. But, at the same time, still, why don't we have a secure bunker inside of an embassy in a country like Libya? I mean, we have 900 bases in 160 countries, and you're telling me we can't, build a lock-in? I mean, I don't know if you ever watched, like, 24, but in season 7 of 24, these guys from, I think it was Senegal, they go in and they actually scuba dive and go in through a sewer vent off of the Potomac River into the White House, and they start attacking. And the president has, like, a secured bunker that locks and cannot be opened. And then, there were guys there that could crack that lock. So Jack Bauer, he zapped the lock pad and made it so they were permanently locked in. But it's, with all the money that we spend overseas, it's really not tough to have a safety bunker for our ambassadors, And for some people, they get like a retirement gift being an ambassador. If you're an ambassador in Belgium or Switzerland or, the Netherlands, that's an easy job. But if you're in the Middle East or North Africa, Libya, Sudan, Somalia, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's a real risk there, but this is the first time this has happened since 1978 that we've lost an ambassador. Obviously we either need to put more Marines in these places or, just have a bunker, starts getting attacked outside, you jump in, you lock the door, you're good until until backup gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is odd. I guess we'll have to build a bigger thing in Libya now after we bomb the fuck out of it.
Libya was doing so terrible under Gaddafi. I mean, it was horrible that, Gaddafi found the biggest pure water aquifer under Africa. The entire continent, he found the biggest aquifer. And then he started growing farmland and was giving the crops to neighboring countries, as well as the fact that they are an oil-producing country. And the fact that he was introducing the dinar, they had their own money system coming in. So, people,
he wasn't playing the globalist game. He was,
and they have gold. You know damn well you're not allowed to have a country where you have your own food, your own water, your own oil, and your own money. The Rockefellers of the world were like, no, this can't happen. I mean, 5 years before, Gaddafi's over in the U.S. bullshitting with John McCain, no problem. He didn't do anything outstanding, to change his relationship. They'd kind of calmed down the truce between him and Libya for about 20 years. And then all of a sudden, oh, bang, protests in Libya. All right, we're there. And, they said there won't be ground troops. But now, after what happened, now there's Marine boots chopping on Libyan soil. and they're one of the seven countries that was supposed to be toppled after the Iraq war was over, which isn't really over, but it's just not in a combat stage right now. You know, I mean, we still have like 200,000 troops in Iraq, so it's not over. It's just been dulled down.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's some happy news, huh? Yeah, guys, I'm sitting in my hot tub out here in the Hollywood Hills. There, people have mentioned that the sound quality. I did run some water, and they're making fun of me, saying I'm washing dishes or sitting in a hot tub. Neither. I just poured a glass of water, and I guess my cell phone picked it up. But
You could wash dishes in the hot tub. It's hot enough water, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, like, bromine in it, which will clean off the plates.
Yeah, I'm just not doing that, and I don't plan on ever doing that, but, you know. You're right. There's enough chemical in there.
I've got a hot tub, too. I just haven't hooked it up yet.
Oh, yeah.
I got that shit on Craigslist. It's like a $7,000 hot tub, and this couple was just giving it away for free.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, no, I mean, I haven't hooked it up yet, but, I mean, there was kind of a horror story that went on with that. My roommate, my buddy, George Rosario, he went out and helped with my other friend, Justin Caraga, and we picked up the hot tub and put it in the back of his Bronco. We got it back to my house. My woman's driving the truck. We put a rope around it just to, like, you know, and then try to pull the truck forward so, you know, it would slide out the back where we wanted it. And it gets three quarters of the way out, and I see it start to tip because we had it on its side standing up. And I'm like, George, get out of the way. This dude weighs 120 pounds. He tried to catch a 967-pound hot tub. I come back around the other side, and it was like the beginning of Wizard of Oz, where, you know, like, you see a slipper sticking out, except I didn't see anything. I walked around. There was nothing there. I just hear him yelling. He's like, help. And he was completely crushed under the hot tub. Thankfully, when it went down, he managed to get his knees up. And then I went over and I hurled as much as I could. And I'm like, oh, I got up to my waist. I'm thinking his neck's broke or his legs are broke. And I'm dude, I hope you can get out on your own because I cannot lift a 1,000-pound hot tub and pull you out at the same time. And my woman was driving his Bronco. His driver's side door doesn't open from the inside. You have to reach out and open it. She went Dukes of Hazzard style, jumped out the window, and by then I had lifted up the entire hot tub about up to, like, the nipple range and held it there for, like, 15 seconds while he crawled out. And you know what the mess up part is?
Well, you... Okay, what?
I got more injured than he did.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, being a hero. Fucking, what happened?
Oh, no, I kind of pulled a tendon. I had scrapes up and down my arms, and my shoulders were sore. I mean, you know, nothing that needed to be medically treated, but he got up, dusted himself off, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, my God, like...
Oh, good. Thanks, homie. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, like, I'm going to be making funeral arrangements in a few minutes when I was lifting her up.
Oh, dude.
Either that or getting him a wheelchair. But he was completely fine. He's a resilient dude.
Fuck, I guess so, man, or lucky. That's such is life. I can't tell you how many times I thought I was done for or somebody near me. Somehow you escape. Makes you wonder. I don't know. There's so many times I probably should have been killed. Sometimes murdered, but usually just fucked up and put myself in a bad situation. Dude, just growing up skateboarding, there's like enough there. Just we used to pack cars like, oh god, if we'd get a fender bender, we would have been crushed. Have like 12 dudes in high school driving to a party, like, you know, smoke billowing out the windows. Just
I got my car hit 1981 Honda Accord hatchback. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's a small car.
Right.
I had 10 people in the car. And a couple of them were like, you know, friends of a friend. You know, there were like a few girls, you know, a couple of my friends, and then their friends. And, you know, anyone that knows old Accords, they're very small. I had 6 people in the back seat. They were lap over lap in the front, and me and one in the hatchback. And I don't know why, but this black dude named Nick, whose nickname was Nickabooger.
Okay.
He spits on me from the back seat, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" And I turn around, and I'm like, "No one wants to admit who did it." And then I turn around and start driving. He spits on me again.
What the fuck?
So I pulled over the car on the side of the road in Worcester, and I'm done. I'm like, you guys can find your own way home. They're like, if you take off in this car, we're going to kick your ass. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I took the keys out, and I started walking.
Mm-hmm.
And a drunk driver coming down the same road doesn't see my car at all and slams into it at like 40 miles an hour. Totals my car. And thankfully, no one was injured in that. But, I mean, I wasn't in the car when it happened. You know, I'm like, all right, if you tell me that if I don't give you a ride home, I'm like, fine. I'm like, I'm taking my keys and I'm going. I was going to go walk and call a cab because I really didn't want to be, you know, fighting 3 against 1.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, stories like that. All right, what the fuck is next, man? I have nothing for you guys. I'm trying to think what's going on. The Department of Homeland Security is purchasing more and more, like 200 million rounds of ammunition, following its purchase of 1.2 billion buckets in the last 6 months alone. So they're basically buying like 223 rifle ammunition and 308 caliber 168 grain hollow point boat tail rounds, in addition to 25,000 rounds of blank 308 caliber bullets. Most of it's designed for snipers. The Department of Homeland Security is getting ready for, I guess, something where they're keeping all that off the shelves.
Was that from a government website?
It's not, and that's why I'm not 100% certain of all the things, but we can look it up. It's from InfoWars, but it's actually from a website called From the Trenches, worldreport.com, and that's where I found the article. But I'm looking, and it looks like they linked to an InfoWars article. We know the way InfoWars writes their articles. They just kind of they go through the news, and they more or less cut and paste and then add their take on it. So, yeah,
well,
I mean...
Before we had this show, when I was on my other show, Tea Party Radio out of Rhode Island, we had covered a story of the I want to say it's like the government inventory site. It was the government printing site, and probably 6 months before we started our show, that on the government printing site there had been a request made for 3 million continuance of government ordinances, COG, and 250,000 were in Spanish. But they sent these to every, like, you know, responder group in the country. I mean, 300,000 continuance of government on what to do in case of, like, a catastrophic emergency. And, it, you know, once every police department, every emergency room, fire department, you know, anything else local that would possibly need to be involved in that. And, I mean, that was scary. I mean, just out of the blue, just to print 300,000 of those and send them out. I mean, obviously nothing's happened yet, you know, but I just got the feeling like, you know, like we keep getting like these warnings that like you'll get from Alex Jones, and then like they, you know, they don't pan out, but then another warning comes, and I'm just getting the feeling that we're near done with the warnings. And I'm not like a doomsdayist, you know, and I'm not a globalist, so.
Yeah.
But it just feels strange. It feels like after I saw that report about, you know, anti-American protests in 21 different countries, and that was 2 days ago. It's probably increased a lot, you know, and people are like, oh, fuck the U.S. And, you know, if I live in another country, I don't blame them because, you know.
Oh, do you know what you just said? That's that. You can be stripped of your citizenship, you know, for saying that in this country right now.
Well, I'll take it. I'll get a boathouse.
Well, you're sympathizing with the enemy, you know? That's terrorism nowadays. That makes you an enemy combatant, you know, or a potential one at least, just because you said you don't blame them for the feeling anti-American. You know, how dare you? How dare you try to understand? Look at the world through their eyes. That's anti-American.
Oh, you know. Well, no, Nate, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Like, it's okay. Like, you know, if, you know, all of a sudden we have Chinese tanks driving down, you know, American streets to protect democracy, I'm going to have to say that, you know, China's doing a good job. They're doing the right thing for us. And, you know, then we can have a free election and, you know, get some sort of Mormon or Buddhist or Christian / Muslim to come in and make sure that we're all okay, make sure that we can protect ourselves because we need protection because Americans aren't, you know, we're not very strong. I mean, 300 million people, 450 million guns. We obviously don't have, like, a lot of stuff to protect ourselves with. So I would like it if another country would come and, you know, secure us to make sure that we're all okay in the future. It would be a bright day.
Well. Yeah, man, right. Well, whatever. The warrant, some page 20 of the manual from that article discussing civil disturbance operations. It outlines how military assets are being used domestically to quell riots, confiscate firearms, and even kill Americans on U.S. soil during mass civil unrest. Page 20, I guess. This was a recently leaked U.S. Army military police training article that I looked up when you were talking about that kind of thing. They say that the rules regarding the use of deadly force in confronting dissidents, that's you and me, you know, Americans, whatever, who don't want to go to a camp, are made disturbingly clear with the directive that, quote, a warning shot will not be fired. There you have it. So with all the non-lethal things and the sound cannons, the tear gas, we know are lethal, actually.
If you find a pink sticker in your mailbox, change your name and move.
Yeah, man, what's up with that? That was one of those. That was when they were doing the census, right? And I think that was that was kind of exaggerated, right? I can't remember who I heard say that. I think giving a speech in like D.C. the radio host, an older gentleman. Who was it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I just remember reading about it.
I know his name. I used to listen to him. But anyway, yeah, that never really came to anything. But I don't know what they were doing that for, but it was odd. Well, it's like anything else, you know, the swastika on the Jewish business back in 1930s, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy to be called out to be.
What better way to you know, introduce like a form of tyranny than to make claims that seem so ridiculous that people will look at you like you're batshit crazy and wear an aluminum hat. And, oh, stickers on on the mailbox, this guy's nuts, and then they implement something that's half that bad, and
right.
people
well,
don't even
well,
notice, because they're
right.
like, oh,
well, yeah.
I'm not listening to that crazy guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it was. Yeah, in the 30s, it was the Star of David on a business, and then it was the swastika following right after that with, like, stones thrown through the windows, and yeah, man. That kind of stuff.
Oh, no, and the swastika, it actually has, like, I'm sure you know, it has an old tradition.
Oh, yeah, we talked
about it.
Yeah, it's
a symbol of peace.
Well, Hitler was a genius for that. I mean, that guy, he was definitely obsessed with mythology and legend and different religions.
Now,
and spirituality.
Think about that. He uses a symbol of peace for his national emblem. And then he uses the word Nazi, which, you know, stood for, in Germany at least, National Socialism, you know, and pride of the country. But the original Nazis were Ashkenazi Jews, you know, great-grandsons of Noah in the Bible. And they were Jews that went and moved from where the Hebrews were and moved into Germany. And then after that, they ended up moving into the House of Windsor and taking over the English throne. I mean, it's well documented that, you know, the English throne since about 1500 was, you know, taken over by the House of Windsor, which were people that were related to the Nazis or Ashkenazis. And then Hitler goes and wages a war on Jews, which is what built the Nazi nation, because they were all Ashkenazi Jews. I mean, it's just
fascinating stuff, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating that he managed to, you know, trick people into, you know, going against their own people and telling them that they're wrong. besides the fact that he believed in the Aryan race, do you not know something screwed up when you get a guy with you know, medium dark skin, black hair, black mustache, and he says that blonde-eyed blue people are the only ones that should survive on the earth.
Yeah.
Red flag.
Yeah, I know. It's like, right? So there's an article reporting that Obama is to meet with Netanyahu now as naval ships head for the Strait of Hormuz. So this was posted on by American Thinker. It's a short article. It says, are matters coming to a head in the Middle East, according to a report by Sean, and it was posted today, as far as I can tell. I'll go to the actual source right now and read the article, but according to a report by Sean Raymond of the UK Telegraph, the leaders of the U.S. are going to meet tomorrow, something that had previously not been announced. The leaders of the United States are going to meet tomorrow, something that had previously not been announced. That's weird. Why would it say that? Am I reading that wrong? It says, according to a report by Sean Raymond of the UK Telegraph, the leaders of the United States are going to meet tomorrow, something that had previously not been announced, as annual naval exercises, the largest ever, are to bring a large flotilla of Western vessels to the Strait of Hormuz. Doesn't that read like Netanyahu's the leader of the U.S.? It says the leader.
Osama bin Laden has bowed to before.
Yeah, but that's actually, like, is that a Freudian slip type of thing? Is that the author of this article said the leaders of the U.S. are going to meet tomorrow, meaning Netanyahu and Obama. That's crazy. Well, anyway, the largest ever.
You know, I mean, the quote yeah. Donald Rumsfeld, we feel bad for the families that died after we shot down the plane in Pennsylvania. Oops.
So, in preparation for any preemptive or retaliatory action by Iran, warships from more than 25 countries, including the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, will today begin an annual 12-day exercise. The war games are the largest ever undertaken in the region. Okay.
We both know war games are bad news.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is by Tom.
And for people that don't know, there were war games going on 9/11 where they were simulating a exercise if the World Trade Center got attacked. We had the F-18 in the air, and the year before they'd gone 17 for 17 with catching an unauthorized plane within 10 minutes. They had an hour and a half before the one hit in Shanksville. Yep, no problem. Oh, sorry. And then the coroner shows up and says, I don't even know why I'm here, because there's no evidence of any blood or bodies or anything.
Yeah, yeah,
and then you have 7-7 in England, where they were doing an exercise on what to do if a train got blown up.
Yeah,
and
the London Underground. Yeah,
the train that they were training on was blown up during the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you not get? Fucking stupid are the people in this country that you can't see that? You know, that when a train gets blown up, that's doing an exercise about a train getting blown up, and they're owned by these. Covered by the same security company, ICTS, International Consultants on Targeted Security, who are in charge of airports at Dulles, Logan,
Schiphol, and Amsterdam.
Amsterdam with the underwear bomber, and Richard Reid, the shoe bomber. They're in charge of all of them. And Israel's former prime minister is a major shareholder in that. And
it's all like former Shin Bet, which is like,
you know, I mean, it's like a bad dream. It's like, how do you not see like the problem with this? And then, you know, like as we talked about with Wesley Clark, oh, we're going to topple 7 countries after we leave Iraq. We've been in 4 of them. Oh, well, that's not real news. But, you know, you did know that Anna Nicole Smith, her daughter's having some problems.
Is she? Well, let's find out what these war games are before we go on to something else, because we, as Chris is saying, when you hear about war games, it's the exact same scenario that they're practicing for might occur. So let's try to get an idea of this. So going to the actual source of the story is a man named Thomas Wilson. The report is from September 15th, so a few days ago, and it's Obama to meet Netanyahu's naval ships heading for the Strait of Hormuz. I'll just start with the part about the war games. In preparation for any preemptive or retaliatory action by Iran, warships from more than 25 countries, including the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates, will today begin an annual 12-day exercise. The war games are the largest ever undertaken in the region. They will practice tactics on how to breach an Iranian blockade of the strait, and the force will also undertake counter-mining drills. The multinational naval force in the Gulf includes 3 U.S. Nimitz-class carrier groups, each of which has more aircraft than the entire complement of the Iranian Air Force. The carriers are supported by at least 12 battleships, including ballistic missile cruisers, frigates, destroyers, and assault ships carrying thousands of U.S. Marines and Special Forces. The carriers are supported by, the British component consists of 4 British minesweepers and the Royal Fleet Auxiliary Cardigan Bay logistics vessel, HMS Diamond, a brand new 1 billion pound type 45 destroyer, one of the most powerful ships in the British fleet, will also be operating in the region. In addition, commanders will also simulate destroying Iranian combat jet ships and coastal missile batteries. What the fuck? This can't be real. An impressive show of force, to be sure. Even more significant may be the meeting between the heads of governments of Israel and the U.S., suggesting an Israeli strike may be being planned. The main naval exercise comes as President Barack Obama is scheduled to meet Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, today to discuss the Iranian crisis. Many within the Obama administration believe that Israel will launch a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities before the U.S. presidential elections, an act which would signal the failure of one of Washington's key foreign policy objectives. Both Downing Street and Washington hope that the show of force will demonstrate to Iran that NATO and the West will not allow President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Iranian leader, to develop a nuclear armory or close Hormuz. We need to find out, that was a few days ago, if these war games are ongoing, what's going on. I'm sorry to the listeners that I'm not more on top of this. I've been extremely distracted with my own life, but this is important, because if that's what they're doing, they're going to war with Iran.
No, Nate. Let's have a little moment of silence for the general citizens of Iran, because they're obviously not a threat to America, because they produce oil and they don't even refine it into gasoline in their own company. In their country, they export it. So, you know, I mean, basically, if Iran wanted to go to war with us, all we'd have to do is say, all right, no more gas for you. How are you going to get your planes and boats over here?
Oh, well, a lot of over. I know.
In case this happens, let's give like 10 seconds of silence for the people of Iran in case anything catastrophic happens there.
Amen. Yep. Holy shit, man. So, that's very, very ominous. A show of force, but more than just that. And that's terrorism, man. That there's nothing you could call that other than terrorism.
Terrorism.
You know, oh, God, I'm hearing an echo occasionally from my phone.
You broke off for a second there.
Okay.
You're good now.
Okay, yeah. What I was saying is that show of force is ominous as hell and can be described as nothing more than terrorism and aggression, act of war. Like, it's not, you can't, those, the poor people, man, they're being legitimately terrorized by Britain and the U.S. and our allies, our alleged allies. Imagine living in Iran with all that happening around you.
No, I had a good friend who told me once, he was like, you know, someone asked me, like, oh, what do I think about Iran? He's like, he was told that he should go there. He's like, I don't need to go to Iran. And the other guy was like, why not? He's like, because I already know what's in Iran. He said, a bunch of fucking Iranians.
I thought
that was hilarious. I mean, it wasn't a cultural disrespect, but he's like, I already know it's there, bunch of fucking Iranians. But
yeah,
the Iranian people, I mean, they're one of the most like westernized countries in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, since we replaced the Shah, I mean, you know, I mean, they're into fashion and, you know, music. I mean, they're like the America of the Middle East, which probably is why it pisses off people here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And Mitt Romney, speaking of the things that he just got caught saying, and the guy who a lot of people want to be the president, just said America could be blackmailed by Iran, by the mullahs, by crazy people. And they give us, oh, thanks, president. Just like, let's just paint the people of Iran as crazy. That's very...
No, the term's already made. Black male.
yeah, right. Even though they're pretty white over there, but yeah,
the war is always against brown people if they're not American.
Yeah, I know, right? He said, if I were Iran, a crazed fanatic, I'd say, let's get a little fissile material to Hezbollah, have them carry it to Chicago, and then if anything goes wrong or America starts acting up, we'll just say, guess what? Unless you stand down, why, we're going to go let off a dirty bomb. I mean, this is where we have, where America could be held up and blackmailed by Iran, by the mullahs, by crazy people. So we don't have any option but to keep Iran from having a nuclear weapon. That's how he sees it. That's his very adult...
Yeah, obviously, they're never getting a nuke over here, but all they have to do is have a well-placed EMP or two or three of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're toast.
Well, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. We don't know. Oh, that's true. I don't know, you know, how secure the world's nuclear arms are. With the regions all, like, being overthrown right now and destabilized, we know Pakistan has nukes, India has nukes. There's a lot of nukes around. Russia has a bunch, and they're shady and not that happy with us. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? There could easily be nukes sitting in American cities, like, not that we don't already have enough factories and nuclear power plants that could be attacked, you know. I'm just across an ocean, albeit it's a fucking ocean and a vast...
Yeah, no, I mean, you can attack a nuclear plant.
Yeah,
And
well, I mean, dude, I'm in LA.
It's going to have way less damaging effects than an EMP. If someone decides, you know, I mean, to get a really effective EMP, it'll cost you about $5, $500. And you can, if you were to be able to launch like four of them, you know, you could take out everything in the United States. I mean, every car before 19, I think it's 88 or 86, it has computer boards, all the laptops, all of everything just zapped. You know, so, I mean, and if you got one that was bigger than that, you could do it right over Kansas, about a mile high, and knock out almost everything in the country. And that means that means the gas pumps are run digitally now. So no more gas, no more computers, no more internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the scenario that I was thinking would happen if, you know, this plan of world domination keeps going on with the anti-American protests. You know, I mean, suck all the troops over there, let off an EMP, and I mean, there's some places that will still have access as far as like government, you know, stuff goes. But 3 years ago, there was a bill in Congress to spend $3 billion to reinforce the electrical grid, which is, you know, fairly in shambles. And, you know, that's the same amount that we send to Israel every year, $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But Congress denied it. The Congress said, no, we don't need to do that. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, to spend the way that they waste money, to spend $3 billion on reinforcing the electrical grid for an event like that. You know, because, I mean, if your stuff is not locked in a bunker or in a Faraday cage, it's no good. You know, and for anyone out there listening, I may not be 1,000% correct on this, but microwaves can work as a Faraday cage. So if you've got an old laptop or an old computer or some, you know, ham radio, just put it inside an old microwave and put it somewhere as deep as you can into your house, underground.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Jesus, man. That's so fucking crazy. It's so funny that we're putting this kind of stuff out on the airwaves. No, it's fascinating to me. Sometimes I become aware.
I didn't figure you were getting tickled, but it sounded like a good time to ask.
Yeah. No. Nobody wants to tickle me out. So
no luck with the Cali girls so far.
Hey man.
All right, yeah, we can't air everything. I know, but you can tell me later.
No. I've been busy. I'm not. That's not even a. Yeah. All right. Enough personal stuff. Let's see. So back to the end of the world. For people that aren't familiar with everything Chris is talking about, you can just look up EMPs, electromagnetic pulse, like radiation. There's been tests from going back to like at least the 60s. I don't know what the oldest ones.
I'm going to make a plug. If you want to hear stuff about 2012 and what may or may not happen, go check out ProjectCamelot.org.
They've now put
their site, ProjectCamelot.org and ProjectAvalon.org, and they're a whistleblower site for people who have done, you know, work for the government or found out things that they shouldn't have found out. Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan do an excellent job on there. And they run all off donations. They travel around the world and do it. If you want to learn a lot about 2012, check out the interviews with Dan Burrisch, B-U-R-I-S-C-K-H.
Mm-hmm.
And check out the interview too about with John Lear, John Lear is the son of the gentleman that made Lear Jets. So he has a lot of experience in, you know, reading aircraft. And also check out Duncan O'Finian. He was the first one that they interviewed as being a super soldier. He actually said that he was, he would say that he would black out for like 3 days. The phone would ring, and they had some sort of device, you know, to make him follow orders, and he would get on a plane, and he would show back 3 days later and have no idea where he went. And he said that he was in a bar once with Bush Jr., and he said, he's like, I just started looking at that guy, and he's like, something just didn't look right. And he said he started to attack him, and then he was thrown out of the bar. But when I say super soldier, this guy has got trapped under things like 1,000 pounds and thrown them all out. He also had, they found an implant in his head.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura actually did a show about him on one of those True TV.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He was wearing a Project Camelot T-shirt during that show.
Yeah, not surprised. Yeah, that's the guy. I don't know enough about him. I have heard that. No, I have heard about him, though.
Well,
I heard the interviews. I used to listen to Project Camelot a lot, but I fell off.
Yeah, I'm a few interviews behind, too. But, I mean, their first, like, 5 years of work, I've heard them all, like, at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, Duncan said that he went into he had to go get an MRI, and he said the MRI machine lit on fire. And... Mm-hmm. He said that there was something about the size of, like, a grain of rice in his head, and they didn't know what it was. He said, but since that happened, he's like, the MRI burnt it out. He's like, I don't have any of the problems that I used to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said as a kid that he was brought to Cambodia during the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
no,
it's so hard to, like, so hard to prove any of, like, these claims, though. It's hard to, I don't know what you've seen or heard in terms of, like, actual hard evidence for their life stories, you know? It's tricky. Like they say, they found an implant. Well, who extracted it, and where is it now, and what tests have been run on it?
Well, no, it didn't get extracted. He said it was the size of, like, a grain of rice. But there are other people that that do back up his story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the more interesting ones, which, you know, if any of our listeners listen to Coast, which I'm sure you probably do, Andrew Vigiardo.
Nobody's heard of that show.
No, I mean, Andrew Vigiardo made similar claims to what Bob Dean made, and Bob Dean is the former Supreme NATO Commander. He was in charge of NATO in Europe, and he claims that he went through a jump room, and he said he was in a basement in Colorado, walked through a door, and then he's on Mars. And
mm-hmm.
Andrew Vigiardo makes similar claims. He said that he met Obama at age, like, 23, and Obama told them that he was going to be president. And, I mean, it's documented before it actually happened, but he said he met Barack Obama, and dude was in college, told him that he was going to be president, and he was like, yeah, well, okay. You know, he didn't really believe it at that time, but then it came out, and then Vigiardo says that he was part of Project Pegasus. He said that Donald Rumsfeld was the director of that in the 60s. And he said that there's photos of him, or a photo of him, at the Gettysburg Address for Abraham Lincoln. He said that when he walked through the time portal, that he lost a shoe. and lost his clothes. And then there's a picture at the Gettysburg Address of like an 8-year-old kid who has on way oversized clothes, one regular shoe, and one like adult boot. And he claims that that's him.
Yeah, man. Well, that shit's awesome. I don't know what to make of that. There's a movie. Didn't they, before we move on to the next topic, didn't they use an EMP in one of the sequels to the movie Ocean's 11? Pretty sure. I don't know if you saw the movies, but just to imagine the scenario. I definitely wasn't the first one, especially not the original.
Wait, what's the movie?
You know Ocean's 11? It was a movie made in the
70s. Oh, yeah.
But then they remade it with a whole cast of, like, super Brad Pitt and the fucking Matt Damon, a bunch of people are in it. They had not just one of those, but maybe they did, like, Ocean's 12 and then maybe even another one. I don't remember. But they used, in one of those, they used an electromagnetic pulse to so that they could break into the casino and get away with, like, this whole heist they were planning. Spoiler. I'm pretty sure they knock out all the electricity in Las Vegas in a scene for, like, a minute or two at least before... before anything can get anything working through it. Yeah, that's it.
Well, so, for anyone out there that likes poker, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and Ed Norton, if you haven't seen it, check out the film Rounders. They're supposed to be coming out with a part two soon, but, I mean, I'm a poker dealer by trade, so... that was an absolutely fabulous movie. That actually inspired like the poker boom that came on like 2003. Do you know, Nate, when I started working at Foxwoods, we had the World Poker Tour. It came through twice a year. The first time that I dealt that, 692 players at $11,000 a pop. First prize was $2.1 million. And then since then, we don't have the World Poker Tour anymore. We have a $2,500 tournament, which means you pay $25 to get in. And now we're lucky if we get like 220 players. Somehow the World Poker Tour, which used to be on the Travel Channel, and then it was on one of those other cable stations. Somehow they went bankrupt. I don't know how you go bankrupt when you have TV rights and you're whacking $1,000 a head in juice.
But what do you think happened? What would have happened?
I really can't understand how that happened. Well, we dropped them. We're now like affiliated with the World Series of Poker. Which the World Series of Poker this year, they had a $1 million buy-in. They only allowed 48 players to go in, but it was $18 million for first.
Jesus.
Can you imagine putting down $1 million to play a game of poker and hope that someone doesn't do something stupid and get lucky?
Right? Yeah, well, that's the game, dude. Yeah, I can imagine it based on the fact that I spend my last penny on whatever the fuck dumb thing I want to do on any given night when I really should save it. if I had $1 million now, but if I had like $10 million, yeah, people do crazy shit when it doesn't matter. But winning that is just, you're the baddest motherfucker around. That's why.
It was the biggest poker prize in history, $18 million. The next one was like 12.5, and that's when Jamie Gold won the World Series playing, and he was playing stupid and getting lucky. He made a lot of dumb moves, but he finished first, and he got $12.5 million. And then he had a verbal agreement with someone like before the tournament started, like, all right, if you win, I'll pay for half your buy-in. But if you win, I get half. And then he ended up going to court and lost $6.25 million to the dude that he said he would chop it with.
So I'm trying to get some updates on I'm laughing, but that's in response to that you were talking about. Iran Okay, Iran deploys Russian-made sub in Gulf as U.S. allies hold naval exercise nearby. That's reported out of Tehran about 15 hours ago by the AP. Deployed one of its Russian-made submarines in the Persian Gulf just days after the U.S. and more than two dozen allies began naval exercise nearby. Iranian state television reported today, Tuesday. The Tuareg 1 joined the Iranian fleet in the southern port of Bandar Abbas after it was overhauled earlier this year, according to the TV report. It's one of three Russian Kilo-class submarines that Iran obtained in the early 1990s. This is what they've got. In May, I just want to get the latest news on this man. I don't know. This should be, like, on TV. I'm sure it is, but I don't feel like it. I shouldn't have found out about this tonight. You know, I've seen some TV. This is not a big enough story. I got to go look and see if anybody's treating it with the...
Or what are you reading? Is WND or you're reading on Drudge or...
CBS News World. So it's... Yeah, I mean, it's being reported on the internet. I don't know.
If it's CBS, that's super mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's being reported, but I wonder what this... I'm looking at, like, if there's any... I mean, it just says the U.S. and its allies suspect Iran is pursuing a nuclear weapon. Iran denies it. I don't know. It's a story we got to follow, though. Whenever war games, like we said, I don't want to just keep beating a dead horse, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, in the past, they've admitted it and then deny it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the thousandth time, if you can't make gasoline, how are you going to get things to come over and attack us?
I don't know. I'm looking for... Well, they... I don't know. We'll find out. They have powerful allies in the region. So, we're not... Like, yeah, we're at a very...
Yeah, no, if we mess with them, we're messing with Syria, Yemen, China, Russia, and Venezuela.
Yeah, and the whole world...
At a minimum.
Yeah, and the whole world is, like, well, mostly sympathetic to their cause. And, you know, as you can see with 21 countries, the anti-American sentiment firing up. And you can see a lot of, like, South American countries aren't so happy with us, too. There's, you know, the U.S. has been used to just screw everybody for a long time. And I know that we're also the country that gives way more aid. Way more aid. Like, what's going on? That's weird. Occasionally, I don't know what it is, but just here and there, my phone's going crazy.
Yeah, we're still hearing you, but not clear.
What?
Oh, keep talking, Nate. I hear you, but it's soft.
Yeah, well, it's
oh,
what's happening
back.
Is I'm okay. Well, what's happening is occasionally, especially when I keep saying Iran, and like, you know, I'm not gonna say that anything's doing it, but it could be a computer in some large, you know, NSA type building that when certain keywords are said too often in a short amount of time is looking at my phone and giving it some feedback. You know, I don't know. We know that they do that. We know that there's just computers, not some guy, like, worried about me. But they definitely are listening in on everyone's conversation. So, here we go. Could be happening, because I am using my cell phone for this.
Well, to quote Farrell Munch, I threw a rock and I ran.
You feel what?
I threw a rock and I ran.
It's echoing so much on my end right now. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, you're not echoing on my end, so check.
All right,
good. Yeah, check the chat room and see if anything's going on there.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I don't think they. Let's see, somebody was saying it. Fracking. They're talking about fracking. So that's the topic that's going on in the chat room.
Yeah, no, fracking's going real well. That's why they have railroad tracks in Toronto that have sunk underground. You can go watch. There's a YouTube video. I mean, I can't tell you exactly what to Google, but just put sinkhole Toronto railroad tracks, and you'll see, like, literally under the railroad tracks, just sinks like 30 feet. Dude's like running while he's filming, and he's like, "Oh my God, what the fuck?" And welcome to the world we live in.
Yeah. So here's something I'm looking at now, because I may be paying more attention because I live near it, but there's a news today. I saw this briefly when I was checking my email. I use Yahoo, and they always have like those trending stories, whatever they are, and the headline says something about a prison break, and I guess there's a huge, it says, Texas Border Patrol on alert after mass Mexican prison breakout. After 130 inmates escaped from a Mexican border prison down in Texas, like, or in Mexico, but on the border of Texas, 130 inmates escaped. So I don't know what kind of level the prison was. I don't know who these people are, but they do suspect that the Zetas cartel is behind the prison break.
Did you ever watch the show Prison Break?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm not sure, but...
I'm sorry, because you need to go watch it. The show Prison Break, the main character, Michael Scofield, he tattoos the entire prison blueprints on his back. And makes sure that he gets arrested and sent to the same prison that his brother's at, because his brother's on death row. And then they break out, like, seven prisoners break out, and eventually they make it to Panama. But the prison that they planned it on was Bogota prison in Colombia. That's what the story was based on. But Mexican prisons, you're responsible for your own food. Or at least in the bad ones, like, you know, there's not, like, you don't get assigned a room with a bed. You have to find a place to sleep, just, like, on the ground. And
for the
most part, you're responsible for your own food, you know, and dudes inside the prison, they have, you know, they have guns, they have phones, but if you're not an insider, you're completely screwed. I mean, the probably the worst place that you could ever go to prison, like that or like Colombia. And I mean, I don't know how people deal with it. I mean, I did a weekend once, and I'm like, oh my God, a weekend felt like 2 years. I can't imagine doing like life without parole. Being in a situation where I had to get my own food and fend for myself, and there's no one inside to watch out for you. Because when they did it in Prison Break, there's no prison guards in there. They shut the doors. And once the doors are shut, you know, if someone gets killed, someone gets killed. Your body gets dragged out the next day, and, you know, then they take care of your body. But there's no recourse. There's no help. There's no, oh, can I go to segregation because people are picking on me? Nope, sorry. And
yeah,
although the U.S. boasts, USA, we do have the most prisoners in the world. Actually, for ladies and gentlemen that don't know, out of like 170 countries, we hold 25% of the world's prison population. And most of them are in there for nonviolent drug offenses.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So you're getting busted for being high. You know, and although this gets a little better than if you were in like Saudi Arabia, they'll chop your hands off. But
at
the same time, doing 25 years for having a bag of coke that was yours. Oh, my God. I mean, just ridiculous, especially the states with three strike rules. California, I think it was 1996, a dude got his third strike. He'd never had any violent offenses, but he had two felonies for theft, and he stole like $260 worth of DVDs from Walmart and got caught. And that was his third strike, and then he gets life without the possibility of parole for stealing DVDs.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That mandatory sentencing stuff, the three strike laws, is out of control. It's gross.
Did you ever get...
Well, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, we talked about it so much, but it's so true that everybody, except for some very disciplined, like monks, very disciplined individuals or people that have already screwed up severely with any kind of substance and have decided to make a change, everybody likes to alter their consciousness once in a while. And everybody. So it's just very, what's the right word, man? It's just hypocritical and
commonplace, hypocritical,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, just for in general that we would even have laws against, drugs. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. You could regulate them. You could do something about that, but not the way we're commonly doing it, which is why the drug cartels, which just are probably behind this prison break, have flooded from Mexico into Texas, and they ship drugs here, and they trade them for guns that go back there to help them wage the war against...
Oh, you mean the guns that we sent over there to be tracked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they do that, and they American government giving guns to drug cartels to track them and then them being used to murder our own people. And in one case, I think there was even, like, a chief of police or somebody, like, in DEA who was murdered, and his gun was found on, like, a cartel member, you know, they were, like, a prize. It's just, it's completely bonkers, but, it's all backwards.
And
all
killing Border Patrol, and,
yeah,
you know.
It's because drugs are criminalized, and if we decriminalize them, then the violence, I mean, it has to lessen. Common sense
well,
lessen
I mean,
when it's... Yeah,
like Ron Paul said, he's, like, you know, on the national South Carolina debate, you know, where he's like, oh, well, you know, if heroin was legal tomorrow, he's like, how many of you guys are going to be going out and shooting heroin?
Mm-hmm.
And no one raised their hand. Like, you know, and he's like, well, look, if people are going to do heroin, they're going to do heroin, and that's, you know, that's their problem. But, because something's legal doesn't mean that, you know, people are going to go run out and jump out and do it.
It's legal to pierce my dick. And I don't want to do that.
I wouldn't want to pierce your dick either, but...
It's some people's kink, you know? Some people's kink is heroin. Some people's is putting bars and shit through their dick. I choose neither, because they both sound messy. And, they get in the way of some fun. So, let's see. Sarah's been waiting for a little bit. I'll read this quick article about that prison break, and then we'll take her back on. So officials said Tuesday they suspect the brutal Zetas drug cartel orchestrated the mass tunnel escape of more than 130 inmates at a northern Mexico border prison. This is from the Associated Press. Possibly to replenish its ranks after suffering blows from a rival gang. Jorge Luis Moran, public safety secretary of the northern border state of Coahuila, told the Associated Press that inmates inside the prison reported that those who plotted the escape were Zetas members and that some prisoners not in the gang were forced to go along. Clearly, the Zetas are behind this escape, Moran said. Police are also investigating whether the prison break might be linked to seizures of empty passenger buses in the region that could have been used to pick up the escapees in an attack on police officers deployed to the prison Monday, he said. Four alleged criminals were killed in that shootout. State officials said Monday night that 132 inmates had escaped through a tunnel from the prison in Piedras Negras, a city across the border from Eagle Pass, Texas. Now, on Tuesday, Moran revised the total of 131. He said three female inmates, initially thought to have been fugitives, were found hiding in a prison visiting area, but two other prisoners, not initially included in the original tally, were discovered to escape as well. So they dug a tunnel. Says, late Tuesday, Moran announced two of the inmates were captured after shooting the state police. They were armed in an SUV driving about 40 miles away from the prison, Moran told the Millennial TV station. The escape tunnel was 21 feet, 6.5 meters long, and 4 feet, 1.2 meters, I don't know how much of our audience needs the meters, but anyway, in diameter. And after passing through it, the prisoners cut their way through a chain-link barrier, authorities said. federal police units and Mexican troops, including 70 members of an elite military special forces unit, were searching Tuesday throughout the state of Coahuila for inmates who fled the prison. It says the Zetas cartel has been fighting a bloody turf battle with the Sinaloa cartel in that border state. Moran said that Zetas controlled the drug corridor until 2010, when members of the powerful Sinaloa gang were sent to the state. Sinaloa cartel is led by Mexico's most wanted man, Joaquin Guzman. Moran said that the Zetas have also been hit by arrests, fatal shootings, and gun seizures, and they are running out of people. So they might have they might have jacked some prisoners and made them, forced them into their gang. The article goes on, and we'll find out more as it builds. This was again from the AP, so the story is everywhere.
Well, no, Nate, on that topic, here's an even more fascinating story. There was a dude that was busted last year. He had ran a tunnel from Tijuana to San Diego, and he had train tracks and lights over the tracks. He had electricity running with the train and with the lights to see where they were going, and they eventually busted a dude in San Diego in like a double basement where the train came into. But he was running a train with lights, with electricity, completely underground, and God knows how long he's been getting away with it. But I mean, you gotta think that he had a lucrative business to have to build that kind of elaborate setup.
Yeah, man. And the Zetas too, trained by U.S. Special Forces. So that was another great idea. Just like, happens a lot. We train people.
The U.S. always trains good people. That's why, six of the 9/11 hijackers were trained at U.S. bases. That's why Anwar al-Awlaki from Chicago, where Obama's from, had been in the Pentagon in 2009 and then goes to Yemen. And then they assassinate him and his son, 16 years old. The American government does assassinate minors, 16 years old. Because obviously when you're flying a plane overhead, it's not like you're shooting a bullet. You got to take out the whole structure. And while al-Awlaki was at dinner in the Pentagon in 2009, and him and his son were taken out in Yemen last year. So if you think that you have rights as an American citizen, well, if they made new laws, you can either get your citizenship stripped, or you could be airstriked from a different country that you're in right now. And that is the real hard part for me to digest. No due process. No explanation, no court date, just bang, you're dead.
Yeah, oh yeah. We learned about that story in 2009, Anwar al-Awlaki, but he was at the Pentagon months after September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Having
dinner with the commanding chief of the army, not the head general, but like the second guy.
Right. creepy. Alright, so Sarah, I said I would bring on to see if she has anything to add, or she's been holding forever, how you doing? What are your thoughts? We have about 30 minutes left in the show. Time goes pretty fast.
Can you rap in Arabic?
Sarah, are you there? 646? I think it's you, but it could be anybody.
No, she's doing you. Bring Kevin on.
Kevin is not. He doesn't have his hand raised. But let's see. 701 out there. Would you like to add anything?
I took my hand down again, but
yeah, sure, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay, cool, man. Well, raise your hand when you do have something to say, or you can just hang out and add whatever. So, yeah. All right, man. Yeah. So, all right, man, I'll put you on mute. Just raise your hand when you want to say something, and that'll be good. All right, so then what other stories do we have, man? 30 minutes left. All right, prison breaks. Talking war, world war. What's the good story that we have? Luke's been kicking some ass, man, getting a lot of really good interviews. For anybody that hasn't checked on, anybody that hasn't checked mirrorchange.org recently, man, there have been some really, like, high-quality... Sarah, are you there?
Oh, did you see when Luke hit up Wesley Clark?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, after all he had offered on Amy Goodman's story, like, you know, to be that cold and close to another question, it just didn't make sense to me. It's like you already admitted that, you know, we're going to attack five countries after we leave Iraq. And then one question about 9/11. Oh, sorry. Can't answer that. I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Right? How about the one with Kevin Smith? It was interesting. Kevin Smith of, you know, Jay and Silent Bob and Mallrats, Clerks, a bunch of movies. Chasing Amy. Dogma, Chasing Amy. A lot of my movies I really
Red,
like.
Red State.
He's a Red State. Yeah, man. Yeah, Kevin Smith is an awesome. I like his movies. Some people don't like his style, but I've always kind of grew up with it.
I love everything that he's ever put out. And, he does switch up his style here and there. Red State was obviously, like, kind of a serious movie. But, you know, I mean, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back. They were goofy movies, but...
Mm-hmm.
They were on the level of, like, Caddyshack.
Yeah, and he got a lot of actors pretty big, including Ben Affleck. Or not really, but it's a funny relationship that they have. But Kevin Smith, he was asked about 9/11 and a new investigation by Luke in what looked like a bookstore, a book signing, comic book shop. And he had a... Well, what did he say? I mean, he basically was like, "Nah." He's like, "You're never gonna find out. Like, you're never gonna." And then Luke told him a little bit more about what We Are Change is and what they've been doing. And he was like, "Oh." He's like, "Well, then you're fighting a good fight." He was like, "I guess keep doing that. I take back 180 degrees from what I just said." He was like, "Fuck." It was kind of funny. It was realistic, and it's sad that it's realistic. He was like, "Yeah." He's like,
"All right,
there's anything that."
Let's see if we agree on this. I have to ask the question openly, but best comedian that We Are a Change has confronted about 9/11.
First Canadian?
No, not first Canadian. I said best comedian.
Best comedian? I was like, I was like, first Canadian. I thought he's from Jersey. Best comedian. Who would it be?
At the table, at a book signing, talks a lot about the government.
Yeah, I mean, that's like George Carlin, is that who you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
George Carlin is a legend.
Ching, Nate, you won a free roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, thank you. George Carlin, you don't even have to say best comedian confronted by We Are Change. You just be like, name five of the best comedians. He's got to be in there. You know?
Oh, no, he's my all-time favorite. I mean, Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan are there, too, but...
Yeah, and like Louis...
I don't know
there's
who
a lot of guys
Carlin.
Right.
Well, maybe old Eddie Murphy.
Richard Pryor was the shit. Lenny Bruce, Bill Hicks, like, you know, there's just a list of, like, a guaranteed, you know, five or ten that you can't live without, you know.
Well, maybe you should have a contest that if you can get 8 out of the 10 top comedians, we'll allow you to call into our show.
Oh, yeah, is that how it goes? You're allowed to call. And there was also a meeting that you can watch of between... John Schroeder and Willie Rodriguez. That was really cool. That Luke just posted up there again. He filmed it a little while ago, but
new one?
Yeah.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah. Did we talk about this video? I can't remember when.
No, we didn't talk about the video. We talked about John Schroeder and Willie Rodriguez. as being the two most, the two most credible living witnesses to the events on September 11th, 2001. Because John Schroeder was the one who, he helped Barry Jennings escape from the 8th floor stairwell after it collapsed in Building 7, the 47-story skyscraper that was not hit by a plane, was not hit by much debris, and had a little bit of fire going on, and they record walking over dead bodies. And Willie Rodriguez, he was in the third subfloor and heard the explosions go off 6 seconds before the plane came, and they heard another explosion up above. And he was the last man out of the building. He went and dove under a fire truck and laid there while pieces of concrete and asbestos and whatever other kind of shit was going on there landed all over him. And he was underneath a fire truck, and he was the last man out of Tower 2. And John Schroeder was the last man out of WTC 7. He said he threw off his gear and jumped into the East River while the building was collapsing. So, I mean, Ladder 10, New York, this dude, he rode his bicycle to work. So he was riding over the Williamsburg Bridge, and everything was fine, and then he got to work, and then he had more work than he wanted to have. Am I inaccurate on any of that that you know about?
No, not that I recall. I was just
checking. I can't claim that I'm 100% accurate. I'm working off of the back of the brain here, so. I know I'm 90% right, but if I had a couple of details wrong, I don't want people calling us out and saying, this information is not allowed to be disseminated without written or verbal consent from Christopher J. Maher and Nathan Florence. And if we are wrong, well, call us out on it.
Yeah, whatever, man. You got to check stuff. I don't remember details about everything. There's so many names and so many stories. What are people in the chat room saying? I believe that. Okay, let me see. Hey, I think we have a hand raised again. So let's get a little conversation going here. Hey there, brother. Are you alive?
Yeah, I'm going to confront you.
Bring it on, man.
Bring it on, motherfucker. Bring it on.
I'm just kidding. I was going to talk earlier and stuff, but you guys got chatty and I got into doing something else, so I took me off the muted. But anyway. I got to agree with you guys, what you guys are talking about, your top favorite comedians. But my challenge, Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith came up to Fargo and did two shows in a little place, little community theater that held 400 people. Both shows were packed to the brim. And it was $50 a pop to go in there. Did not spend 1 minute between shows or after shows talking to anybody. And there was a huge crowd out there waiting for him. And you figure that he could have taken 2 seconds to address the crowd and say hello, but he freaking darted out of that building straight into his bus and just got the hell out of town. And I was pretty disgusted with him.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, who knows what the situation is, though. It's hard to know. He might have really had to use the bathroom, or...
We're talking both the shows, though.
No, I know.
The last one that they put out, I mean, as I've expressed before, I don't have cable TV, but I found out on the internet, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and it was Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes sitting on the stage just bullshitting about life, kind of like we do on this show. But it was very, very hilarious. I mean, I would recommend anyone that can find that, go look it up. I mean, they were talking about, you know, thumbing girls in the ass and smoking weed and getting drunk. Oh, and then getting sober, because Jason Mewes admitted on the air that he was a heroin addict for like 6 to 8 years, and he's been clean for like two.
Yeah, he was in Rhode Island for that time, like when it got really dark. He came to Rhode Island, and he used to be like in my town. I would see him, and he was looking fucked up. He was not looking good, man.
I won't disagree with the quality and works of Kevin Smith, you know. But after that event, I mean, I used to listen to his podcast, and I used to subscribe.
Yeah, that sucked.
All this stuff, and he blew me off. And I think the biggest reason was, you know, my son is 24 years old, and he likes Kevin Smith, and I bought him every single DVD and pulled out the DVD cover and stood there and paid to go to both shows to wait in my wheelchair. We even, like, parked in front of his bus, and we wedged his bus in with my handicap van. And on the back of the van, we wrote on our window, we'll move the van for an autograph. And the tour bus backed up over the curb to leave. I have handicap plates and everything. And I'm just like, wow. And I had a bunch of Cannabis Resolution T-shirts for him, and it just really pissed me off. But another comedian, this Saturday night, Doug Stanhope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to see Stanhope?
Yeah, he's gonna be here next Saturday night.
Well, here's the plan. Sometime in the next year or two, me and Nate are gonna have to meet up with you and go to a comedy show. And the only reason we're gonna go is because you're gonna be able to get us damn good parking.
reason that's cold blooded, man. But we got the same taste. Let's go.
Actually, next month, if all things go well, I will be in my doing my first 10 minutes at open mic.
Oh, good.
And so, yeah, because I consider it funny in my own head, and so I thought I would do
poetry,
it.
Poetry, or like a chapter out of a novel you wrote, or what?
Comedy?
Well, just observational comedy of being in a wheelchair, because you really meet the ridiculousness of people when they don't know how to handle people with disabilities.
Okay.
But then I'm waiting to post it. But you know, I met Bill Burr.
Uh-huh.
And then I also met Doug Benson.
Yep.
And at the end of the show, when I went to go get their autograph, and I had it recorded, that I went up to him, and my buddy said, this is Kevin, and he's blind and in a wheelchair. And then they start talking to me, and then I just went crazy with, like, and just, like, acted ridiculous for about 3 minutes with both of them. And then they got super uncomfortable, and I wouldn't let go of their hand. And
Jesus, man.
Then all of a sudden I stop and I go, I'm just kidding. I just want to tell you guys you're really funny. And they just almost shit their pants, because they just were not expecting anything more than just ridiculousness for too long of a period.
He said he was blind, but we didn't know he was deaf, too.
he's crazy as fuck. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. Bill Burr, you just named another couple of great ones. Doug Benson, Bill Burr. You guys are awesome. Bill Burr has
his latest.
Yeah, man. Did you see the one listen to it? Yeah. Bill, at Netflix one he put out on, oh, God, it's great, man. I just heard it for the first time a couple days ago.
Well, you guys, if you guys recall of what I'm going through with my ex-wife right now, I wanted to send my ex-wife a copy of the Bill Burr stand-up about the whole gold digger.
yes, totally, man. I don't want to ruin any of the jokes, but it's on Netflix for people that
have seen it. I wish that, like, I was hooked into the board right now, because I would be playing EPMD Gold Digger. Great song.
yeah.
Gold Digger.
Speaking of songs, I haven't heard them yet, but our friend Bliss, David Kittleson from
Minnesota. Minnesota.
Critical Contact is what I couldn't think of. but he put out a new mixtape for free. I don't know if it's all him or if it's like, he did something like Immortal Technique did with the Martyr, where it's a bunch of him and his songs with different people producing tracks. I'm not really sure with the guests on it, but it's the website for people that know him. He's cool and he's a personal friend and a great artist, hip hop artist, is blisshiphop.com. And there's links to his albums and then and you know what's cool that Bliss always does is he puts out the free download and it's like not only in MP3 format, but you can get it in FLAC, MP3, VBR, AAC, Ogg Vorbis, ALAC, like whatever your format is that you prefer, you know, just regular old MP3. But you can get like lossless audio versions that are just like a CD you would buy in a store.
Well, if you want to check out Bliss and you want to find out if you're willing to spend money like to get his download, go check out the Second American Revolution. Absolutely fabulous song. We saw him perform, me and Nate did, in 2009 in Manhattan, New York City, 56 Walker Street. And
yeah.
He not only did his own music, but he did a cover of Rage Against the Machine.
And yeah, it was dope.
It was bananas. I mean, this is like a 5'8" white dude with blonde hair, and he did Rage Against the Machine. He did Kill It in the Name of, and like two other Rage songs, and I was just absolutely blown away. I mean, he's a fabulous musician. He's got a lot of heart, because when you hear a dude that's doing, you know, rhymes and songs like that, the way that he let it out and pulled it from like the bottom of his stomach, it was so great. I was proud to be there.
Before I forget, gentlemen, you guys are involved with We Are Change. Who was the gentleman in Minnesota that was murdered? Who was involved
murdered?
With We Are Change?
From We Are Change?
We had somebody murdered in Minnesota.
I hope it's not Sean.
No, it's not. I just talked to him like a couple days ago. It must have just happened.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. When he says that, I'm like, that's the first thing that comes to mind, is Sean Wright. I'm like, I hope it wasn't him. Not that I want anyone to get murdered, but...
Yeah, it just sucks when... No.
I think it happened like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. He was with his family visiting here in Minnesota, and he was in Minneapolis, and they got mugged. And when they stole it, when they took everybody's wallet and purse and stuff, then he just popped the one guy in the head and ran. And he was involved with 9/11 exposure, and I thought he was involved with We Are Change.
I'm
sorry that guy was involved with anything connecting to us. You know, I mean, I suppose if you're in a desperate situation, you can rob someone. But what's the point of popping them? You know, like once you've already got what you wanted.
I'm trying to find this. It happened in Minnesota, huh? I'm trying to search
in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And I want to say
people
3 years ago.
Huh.
But he was one of the verbal people about 9/11. And when I first learned of that story, you know, to me it sounded like a direct hit.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't know. I mean, people do get murdered. I'm not. I'm looking for one thing where I found. Let me see. Michael Zibior. Michael Zibior. It looks like this is from 2006. And let me see. It says some Professor Wood said that Michael, during spring break, he and his mother went to Minneapolis to visit a sister who was a student at the. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Right, that's him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was
he in We Are Change, or was he in the
9/11
movement, wasn't he?
Yeah, 9/11 Truth. He was a member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, all you need to do to be a member of We Are Change is to say that you're a member of We Are Change. The rules basically are just don't call anyone out publicly that doesn't deserve it, and, you know, do your best to report the truth. And that's pretty much the rules. So, you know, I mean, infiltrating We Are Change as far as, you know, government, people could do it real easy because we don't ask anything of people. You just gotta agree to the rules that you're not gonna talk shit about the organization, and, you know, that you're gonna do your best to find out the truth. I mean, me and Nate were in New York in 2009. I mean, Nate, remember the Jay-Z concert?
Yeah.
I never thought that would be the most abrasive crowd that I would end up dealing with. But we're outside of the Jay-Z concert on 9/11 at Madison Square Garden, and people were, like, verbally assaulting us left and right. You know, some dude took one of our CDs, he threw it at Nate, and then another dude, I was standing right there with Nate and Anthony from Ohio, and, you know, dude started talking shit to us, and, you know, then I'm wandering around, went through, you know, and then someone, like, gave us, like, a $3 donation, one of the We Are Change New Jersey people. But I actually expected the Jay-Z crowd, like, to be non-trusting of the government, to be, you know, like, oh, you guys are doing a good job. But people are like, oh, you guys are batshit crazy. They're like, you know, you really? They're like, that's what you're out here talking about?
Something really weird went on there. I don't know what went on inside the concert, but it was Jay-Z was saying that it was a benefit concert for families and for New Yorkers affected. It was on 9/11 for a reason. And they came out of there just very, very adamant about the official story. So I don't know what was going on inside that concert hall, but it was very strange. And we were being very respectful. That group, one thing about that group is it's not shoving it in people's faces. I mean, we had information and politely asking people if they wanted to learn more about the questions surrounding the event, but they were just there paying a lot of money for a ticket. And I don't know how much money actually went anywhere. I don't know how... if Jay-Z kept some of that. We know Jay-Z just, he just dissed the Occupy movement after selling them T-shirts. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Nate, if you remember, there was a Jay-Z, like, billboard cutout that was out front, and I was talking to a dude that was from Brooklyn, Marcy Projects, and he was like, oh, you know, they disrespect the Hova here. They're like, they're disrespecting him. This is Hova. He gave back to the people. And talking about Jay-Z, his nickname's J-Hova. And,
yeah.
I mean, and that, I'm not in front of my computer. If you can pull that up and put that on there, I mean, I've got the 5-minute video.
Which one? We'll get the audio maybe for next week or something, because there might be like an intro to the video and a bunch of like street noise stuff that might not come off as clear.
Well, no, I did clips of us at that show, and then I did clips of us in the basement of the subway station. You remember when we were in the basement and dude was like playing the harmonica and people were dancing and singing?
Yeah, sure. Well, Kevin, what are you trying to say? I've heard you trying to leave it.
There's a little delay with everybody, so I don't mean cutting on you guys. But
okay.
I don't know if I told you guys before about my 9/11 connection, but I have a friend whose name is Mark, and I'll say that's it because Mark is no longer with us anymore. But Mark's father, every year, Mark's father, who retired from the military, was called to the Pentagon in the fall, and the meeting occurred in the same building for, I think it was 12 years, and he was brought in as a consultant for like a think tank that talked about military scenarios and whatnot. And because he retired from the military, high ranking. And 1 year, the meeting was called off, but not called off per se, but called off from being held in the Pentagon, and was held in a building that was four blocks away. Now, every year that they had this meeting that was never, ever changed before, was held in the same area that got hit on 9/11 on that day. And not only that, but Mark's sister works in the Pentagon, and Mark's father called her, called his daughter and said, do not go to work today.
Is that a fact? Wow.
That's an absolute swear to it all fact.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, it's not the only story like that. It's shocking for somebody that's never heard the, you know, all the foreknowledge. But, wow.
And I used to try to get Mark to come out in the open about
mm-hmm.
this, you know, okay. because it really ate him up inside, because a lot of people, you know, he was a fellow cripple, I guess you could say, but it used to tear him apart about knowing this stuff. And he used to get in arguments with his father about, do you not see what's going on? And his father, that's as far as I'll go with it, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But,
yeah, man, it's hard. It puts people in a very dangerous situation. People are afraid to lose their jobs, so that their families could be threatened or, you know, worse. It's important that people that have firsthand knowledge do come out in the open, and it is probably the safest place to be, except for your reputation, you know. Be able to drag your name through the mud. A lot of good people have lost their jobs, lost their minds, some of them, because everyone calls them crazy. It's dangerous, man.
Well, you know, when I've told you guys about my history and stuff, but when I was ran over by the garbage truck, I saw the driver's eyes. I looked him square in the eyes, and he didn't stop. He kept coming, and he claimed that he didn't see me in the crosswalk. And the pertinent thing about what happened to me is that when I had everything all lined up, I was supposed to have been meeting with Mark Dayton and Paul Wellstone and Jesse Ventura on the original date of when I was supposed to do my ride into St. Paul at the Capitol. And ironically enough, the 10 days before I was supposed to do my ride, when I was in St. Paul getting the legalities done, that I was ran over by a garbage truck, by an 80,000-pound garbage truck that was five blocks off his regular route.
Well, we'll have to hear that whole story another time, man. It's getting pretty late, but
Just look up my Wikipedia page. It's Kevin Shores. I have nothing to hide.
Right. No, I have. I just to have you tell the whole story.
Ironically, in the Wikipedia page, it said that I only had my pinky toe ran over by the garbage truck.
What was the truth?
Well, somebody went in and changed it, because I went under the front of the truck and spit out the side. And the first guy that came up to me while I was laying on the ground, his first words to me was, "Oh my God, you're alive."
Really?
And in the Wikipedia, it was changed to that it ran over my pinky toe.
Yeah. Well, shit, man, I'm glad you made it. That's great. Pretty crazy. All right, there's 90 seconds left of our show officially. We can run over for a couple minutes, but I'm tired, man. I got stuff I gotta do. Got things, places to be in the morning, so I don't know what Chris is feeling, but yeah.
Well, I'll give you some crap, Nate, because I called in within the first half hour of the show.
Fair
last
enough.
Week. Last week you told me not to call in at the last half hour again.
Yeah, how dare I? You know what? What a dick. We'll hang out for a little while. My bad, man.
Oh, it don't matter, man.
We'll see Sarah. Still,
I'll always be next.
20 minutes left.
20 minutes? Is that what you said? Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. I can do that. That's good. All right, guys. So with the last 30 seconds of the official show, for anybody like listening in the chat room, thanks for hanging out. If you want to call in, 347-324-3704.
I apologize. I can only stay on until 3:10.
3:10? All right. So 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes of overtime, which gives you guys callers a chance. 347-324-3704. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. And we'll have some audio stuff next week that won't suck in the beginning. I'll get it all worked out. Swear. all right, guys. Well, let's bring Sarah
on. Don't swear.
Yeah, I know. It's just wrong.
Yeah, no, the Bible says not to swear to anything.
It probably should say that.
You can use different words. Be like, I commit, you know, or... surrendered to next week at this time, but don't use the word swear.
Don't swear. All right. Well, I take it back. I'll probably screw up the audio.
I know you're 100% Christian. I'm just saying, like, for our show, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's funny that you say that now, Chris, because you should have heard the first 30 minutes when Sarah and Nate were talking about swearing.
he means I know what she's swearing on something. Sarah went off a little bit. It was interesting. It was fun.
Well, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
Much love to Sarah, and I do appreciate the fact that she stayed on the air with me last week for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, right. Yep, while I was at work. She is still around if she wants to chime in. Okay, what were we talking about? Bliss, yeah, good music there. Kevin has an interesting Wikipedia page we need to go back and have him tell stories from, ask questions about. Man, what do you think's going on with the war games in Iran? Sarah, Kevin, either of you, or in Iran, but, you know, guarding Iran, in their waters.
I really wanted to call in a little bit earlier about Chris's scenario because I think he's pretty dead on target about just the whole distraction, you know, because it's, you know, I absolutely believe that there's no difference between the Demopublics and the Republicrats, and I believe there are no borders, that they try to continuously believe or make us believe that there's borders between countries, statements, but they're all in on the same freaking show.
Right.
And it's all used for distraction because they want to continue on with the things that they like the most, and that basic power. You know, that's their aphrodisiac. That's their ultimate goal because, you know, you think about it like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie 8mm with Nicolas Cage. You know, when you have $1 billion in your bank, you know, getting a simple blowjob from your wife isn't a big deal anymore.
No, you need more.
And you need to fix that craving, that urge, that lust for the next fix or the next high. And I bet it gets pretty freaking heinous.
yeah, certainly. That power that, like, yeah, exactly. What's next? What's the new thrill when you can buy the world? You're right. Power is that thing that they lust for. That's why it does come out in a lot of, like, perverted manners. Like, the ultimate power over people is the ability to, like, rape and kill. And, like, that movie was about snuff films, if I recall. And we hear that the elites are usually engaged in, you know, that kind of behavior more than the rest of us, or at least they... At some point along the chain, I'm not saying they're not made in, like, hillbilly trailers and stuff, but they're purchased and they usually are found in, like, princes' castles and fucking all that kind of stuff.
Well, even
sick.
Even those movies, Hostel, were kind of showing
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's the movie Taken. Remember the movie Taken? Where there's actually a sequel coming out, just called Taken 2. It's with Liam Neeson, and his daughter gets kidnapped while on vacation with her friends, and then she winds up being, like, you know, for auction somewhere in, I can't remember what country, but they have her on, like, a yacht, and there's a bunch of billionaires or multimillionaires, sheiks and stuff, whatever, you know, bidding for all these girls that they put on display in a glass box in the middle of the room, and they have, like, a silent auction in their little shrouded, it's creepy, but it no doubt goes on, and like every day, right now, people are fucked up, and yeah, it's the bidding to purchase a human being to do with what you want, you know? It's fucking sex slavery.
Another thing, I think, Chris, was it last week I was talking to you, or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember the last time I talked to you guys, it's been kind of foggy, but I did purchase the Rights Campaign.
Oh, that was me. Yeah, we were talking. Yeah. Yeah, you could take that concept that you had and extend it. Good. Good, man. You should definitely build that up. I like what we were talking about. If you want to discuss what we were saying.
For Chris. What I was talking about is that I've gotten so disgusted with politics that we have to select, or we have to choose from what's presented in front of us, that I wanted to start a right campaign, but WRITE, and so that people will select somebody from the community and say, hey, this person should be governor or senator or state representative, and then have a campaign of writing the individual's name in. Because when I was at this outdoor festival, I told them all in the crowd, if they're still indecisive of who to write in or who to select for senator, write my name in. And so I'm trying to do somewhat of a movement as a protest of, you know, it's ridiculous that we have to vote for these people that we really don't want to, and everybody's saying, well, it's the lesser of two evils. Why should that be?
Right. It would be amazing just to see how many write-in votes there were around different counties. It would be a sign. Not even for the same person necessarily, but just, I wonder what those numbers are, because I'm writing in somebody for president this year, you know? There's nobody that's actually on the ticket. Roseanne Barr, I've been saying I'll probably vote for her. She has Cindy Sheehan as a VP. I'm friends with Cindy, and I like a lot of the work that she's done, and Roseanne's, you know, we don't agree on everything, but she's fucking hilarious, and she'll talk about anything. She's really active against Monsanto. Yeah.
I just listened to her roast of, she had that Comedy Central roast on herself.
Oh, yeah, I still didn't even, I never watched that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, it's pretty funny.
Good, I got something to watch after this. Throw that on while I'm going to sleep. Man, yeah, she's a trip, dude. She's big on 9/11 truth. She's big on fighting Monsanto. She's big on individual liberty. She is a ardent supporter and user of cannabis. She is anti-war. She's also running for president of the U.S. and prime minister of Israel. At the same time, she thinks she can fix that problem, them over there too, mainly by getting together with the Palestinians. She said her plan for peace in that region is getting the Palestinian and the Jewish grandmothers together to work out a way of fixing things. Just a more realistic plan. So, yeah, I like her. Now, she's not perfect. She's got a lot of what you would call socialist leaning things, you know, but whatever, her big, that's fine with me, let's discuss everything.
She made her statement about, she said, Obama, you can take my cannabis when you peel it from my dead cold fingers.
Yeah, she's great. She, what else was I about to say? She told, she punked off the mayor of Jerusalem while there, which is pretty bold for a Jewish woman to do, especially from America. Basically called them out for their abuse, you know, human rights abuses. She's done a lot of really, really good stuff. So I'm for it. She bashes Ron Paul, but I have too, for certain things that he supports. And she's always attacking Mitt Romney, which I'm a fan of.
Speaking of Ron Paul, did you guys hear about something that Ron Paul sold 1.9 million emails to the Republican Party?
He sold them?
He sold. Yeah, you guys are computer savvy.
Yeah, sure.
Get that guy on Google. Like, Ron Paul sells emails. I just heard this 2 days ago, and I haven't had the chance to look it up.
Well, it does say, there's a YouTube video about it. I don't know the source of, let me find out, I'm trying to find a real, like a good website reporting it. When you just write sell, there's like everything is Ron Paul sellout, you know, so it's like, I'm impressed with his rhetoric, but the people he has around him, Jesse Benton, just so much of his campaign is bullshit. I don't like it at all. But I like him. I don't trust him, but I like him.
Yeah. You mentioned Jesse Ventura earlier today. That kind of
in. I know. But I also said that sometimes he sounds like a big dumb wrestler, and you know, I don't always agree with him. He didn't put his foot in his mouth, but I know you do have a personal beef with him. And that's fine, man. I don't hold that against you. What was it? What was it that he did? Let's talk about it.
Well, he totally blew me off when I did my ride across the state of Minnesota when he was governor. And prior to him being governor, he, on a talk show that he used to have with KFAN, he used to bring up Gulf War illness and stuff and asked if anybody knew more about it, if they would inform him. And so I used to get him tons of information pertaining to Gulf War illness. And the minute he became governor, he wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't get a hold of him. And he totally blew me off. And, yeah, I even, like, confronted him a couple of times publicly in venues of where he was kind of, like, thanking people for, you know, getting him into politics. Because if it wasn't for his whole cannabis issue and wanting to make a supposed change of things, the younger vote never would have got him into office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his big thing here in Minnesota, that he swore he would legalize cannabis. And then he got into office and he was like, oh, that's a federal thing. I can't do anything about it.
I'm finding discussion. There's a video on YouTube and its title is Proof Ron Paul Sold Millions of Email Addresses. So he sold email lists that his campaign for liberty and his, like, you know, Ron Paul campaign supporters. I guess he sold a shitload of them to Romney. That's the allegation. I haven't looked into it at all. Ron Paul did a bunch of stupid stuff. They told people to, like, delegates to go for Romney, that it was lost. He was afraid there was some threat, allegedly, Romney said that he would just ruin Ron Paul's name forever with ad campaigns if he didn't back off or whatever. And I don't know why he would cave to that kind of threat. I don't know what dirt there is about him. I don't know. I mean, Ron Paul's done a bunch of dumb shit, but he's just one guy. I don't know. And I don't trust the people around him. This would be interesting if he sold it, though. We're going to have to... I'll have to look into it. I can't really watch videos. It doesn't make for good radio. Chris, have you heard anything like that? Chris. I wonder if Chris's phone died. It does happen. It does happen when he gets late. Well, it's quarter past. Hillary Clinton, I guess, admitted it's into a video. It's not, like, anything too world-shaking, but that the U.S. government, of course, did create Al-Qaeda, funded and trained them. And I guess there's in video she admits that that's on us, which for years, you know, we were pointing out, but to people like her, and they would sneer at us and push us away. Like, it's just world history, man. It's not even like it's not even an allegation. It's just the truth. But people like to ignore the history.
Right.
So yeah. All right, man. Well, do you have anything to wrap this up? I think we may have lost Chris, unless you.
Well. Lastly, I guess, I hope everybody has a wonderful calendar equinox coming up this week.
Yeah.
And let's hope that it's not the equinox date that the Mayans and all of their revelance of the heavenly sun being directly above them is more important than the solstice.
Okay.
And
all right.
With all my predictions, I always say, please come back and rub it in my face that I was wrong, because I'd much rather be wrong with my predictions because of the cataclysmic event of them than to be right.
I would say so. Yeah, certainly. Well, what prediction are you? Actually, which one are you mentioning right now?
Well, as an indigenous person that also has legends and stories about this pivotal time that we're in right now, that the Mayan people, when they gave reverence to the heavenly sun, S-U-N, that it was when it was directly overhead. And for them, because they were located around the equatorial plane, that was during the equinoxes and not the solstices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So, but who knows, man? I wasn't there, so.
Yeah. Well, maybe you were. I don't know. That's kind of hard to remember. Takes some journeying. All right, brother. Well, it's been good, man. We'll catch you next week and call anytime. I don't know what I'm telling you to call at 1 hour or another in the show.
All right, take care, Nate.
All right, brother. Take care. Everybody, so that's another show, I guess. Chris, his phone must have died, but he'll be back next week with me. We'll do this at least 3 hours, sometimes four, every Tuesday. East Coast starts at midnight. West Coast starts at 9. And I guess that's all we need to say. I will leave you with our outro music and maybe a song from Bliss, if it's loaded up. I might be able to leave you guys with a song that I haven't even heard. Let's try and pull a track from Bliss's new free mixtape. Support independent hip-hop. And, okay, I do have a song for you guys. So enjoy, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Before your heart can be saved, you don't need to know the end before the start can be made. I'll hide a horror crux in a long dark cave, an Indian burial ground in an unmarked grave. So before I can say I finally found my way, I'll let the silence be the sound that I find when I pray. Sometimes we grieve, we lost another friend today. Why'd they leave? I can't believe it had to end this way. They had to advance, you can't expect them to stay. It's not death, it's their soul's Independence Day. You can't be mad at a transition that set them free. I know it's not easy, but you gotta just let it be. As long as you're here, I can face what's ahead of me. Just know your inspiration has made me a better me. I've accepted the things that I'll never see. I'll meet you at the crossroads, I'll be there eventually. Friends when we rap together, but I'm on the road.
doesn't last forever. I want to smash all the past memories of when I met her, just to feel better than piece it back together. I'm inside a hurricane, but I can handle the weather. I wear my sandals and a sweater when I'm camping in December. Just want to make music for a living like so many others, so I can help my family and buy a new home for my mother. I'll let you know you're not alone, I'm on the road with my brother, so I can get some dough and put some honeycombs in my covers. I walk this land with the universe as my lover, with the magic and the wonder most humans haven't discovered. Just know you'll make it through, you'll be stronger after you suffer. The longer you go hungry, the more you'll enjoy the supper. I just want to take a moment to share with you what I'm learning, but no one seems to notice or care that the sky is burning. I go low.